Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio. Well, welcome to my 64th birthday show. It's really kind of funny because normally I don't announce that. I mean, I just haven't. It's like a Facebook, for example. Well, I think I announced it on the show, but this is the first time I've actually put something in on Facebook where it is, my birthday. I'm getting interesting. I'm getting comments from friends that are, you have Facebook friends where you don't know exactly that well, but you got something in common, so you made them friends anyway. That's what's going on, which is really hysterical. I think I got a call. I think I know who this might be. So hang on just a second here. Let me just do a quick check. Thought so. All right, so let's introduce the person that is responsible, most responsible for getting me involved in Blog Talk Radio in the first place. Hey, Bill.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
He did it. He actually did it. Oh, this is a challenge. I said, if you're going to call my show on my birthday, you got to sing When I'm 64, because this is the only time you're ever going to get to do it. Today, this is it. So let me quickly scroll down here and give you a round of applause. Thank you very much.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I listened to the song last night, and I realized I did know the song, so... I didn't know that's what it was called.
Yeah, it's called When I'm 64. So it's on the Sgt. Pepper album, which I didn't know. I got the lyrics right here. And Marco's giving me a thumbs up from the Netherlands. Yeah, here's the problem, though. I don't know why. I can't sign into live chat. Live chat does not have me. So you guys are just going to have to talk to each other. So I got Bianca in the line there and Marco on live chat. But that's it. So let me pull up the lyrics real quickly because this is kind of fun. So it's the Beatles, When I'm 64. When I get older, losing my hair. Many years from now, yeah, I still have my hair, by the way. Will you still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I've been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? I'm the only one here. Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? There we go.
There you go.
The silly things we get up to here. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah. So, any news of late? Any birthday wishes? Anything? Or do you have to dash right away? Do you have a couple minutes?
I do have to dash right away.
Okay.
As I mentioned yesterday morning, it's open enrollment.
That's
for
right.
Medicare. So, I've already done some stuff for that this morning, and now I got to go earn my dollar today at the pediatric clinic, and then tonight I'll be back at it with the Medicare.
Yeah. And I'll be working on my show, doing what I normally do. I usually end up working on birthdays anyway, which is fine with me because I love what I'm doing, so it's no big deal. In past years, I was working and I didn't love what I was doing, and that was a big deal. But these days, things are pretty good. All right. So, yeah.
Yeah,
working
on the birthday is no big deal. I consider it to be a blessing to be able to work on your birthday because that means that you have one more year. Even though you're one more year, you still have a clear mind, and you still have the ability to work. And I think that's a blessing in itself.
Well, it's interesting. I've talked to younger folks, and they're talking about their grandparents who are, my age, and they're talking about how they're declining, their memory is going, and I'm like, it's so sad. I'm thinking to myself, I am easily as fast mentally as I was in college, maybe even more so because I had more practice. Now, college, they sort of dumb you down, but doing this show with the amount of topics and the variety and the rapidity with which we go from place to place and topic to topic, it actually is a great mental exercise. And so I think this will keep, it's like, brain workouts just doing this show. And I think that's going to be huge, as years go by and as time goes by, if I'm still, hopefully, God willing, still doing this in my 80s, then I'm going to go live on a cruise ship and chase women and drink and, dance and visit strange people.
Well, there is an old couple that was just documented that they booked, I think it was over 500 straight cruises because it was cheaper than going into a retirement home.
Yeah, we should do a show on that because I've heard that too, and that's why I mentioned it. I'd much rather live on a cruise ship. I mean, if you've got medical care, you sit, and as you book, you get discounts. So it works out cheaper to live on a cruise ship than it does to, in assisted living or some of those other places. Besides, it'd be a hell of a lot more fun.
Well, you got Shelby, so that'd be a good person to do it with.
Well, yeah, I should talk to her. I'm trying to get her back on the show. For those that don't know, Shelby Frenette is our cruise and travel expert. Not ours. I mean, she's got her own business, and she's the real-life Julie McCoy from Love Boat. She's been a cruise director. She's done, like 2,000 or more cruises. Shelby's great. But we're trying to get her son back on the show. He does teenchess.com. Remember when Christian was on?
Yep.
He did a history report, and he did a chess report for us briefly. But he's older now. He's mature. He's like 15 or something like that.
Mature at 15.
Well, he was on the show at 11, right? If I remember.
He's quote-unquote too cool to come on the show now.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah, he's going to be a rich entrepreneur with his teen chess. No, I think he was the youngest person we ever had on. The youngest regular reporter is Brianna, but the youngest person to be on the show any length of time, I'm pretty sure it's Christian. So we'll see. I don't know, unless I have a five-year-old come on and go, I'm on the radio, which would actually be kind of funny.
All right, well, you have a good rest of the show. Happy birthday. And we
thank you, Bill. You've made my day.
Wednesday morning.
Someone actually took up my challenge to come on the show and sing when I'm 64, so I appreciate that. Thanks very much.
No problem.
Take care.
Have a good day.
All right. See you later. See the fun we have here? I thought this was going to be a crazy, I thought it was going to be kind of boring day because it's just me. no one's going to call in. No one's going to do anything. Again, my apologies on live chat. So we shall see, if I can get this thing working. I've tried resetting the screen. I've tried other things. It's just not logging me in. Don't ask me why. It lists me as a viewer, instead of the host of the show. At least I'm broadcasting. I know that because we still don't have things on our screen. I do have a Wi-Fi indicator now. They fixed that part, but they still don't have decibel meters, which would be nice. Got a friend of mine calling in whose birthday is the same day as mine. And so hopefully I'm waiting on her to call in right now, and so I'm going to give her a little message and say, hey, time to call. okay, here we go. Let's say call in now. This would be a good hour. The first hour is going to be better for calling in for this kind of stuff. I'll get a little serious in the second hour. In fact, I was going to do one report, and I actually went through it and took out the ads and stuff like that, but it's about 10 minutes short of what it should be. So I think I skipped a section, so I'm going to have to go back and re-edit that. There wasn't time before the show. And so I'm going to have, call in anytime and we'll see what happens. And so we'll, birthday people don't tend to get up early when they have the day off. I don't, but to me, I get the rest of my life off. I get to do action radio. All right. So some of the more serious things, going on. Well, I was going to do something. We'll see if my friend calls in, but, failing that, I want to do something about what life looks like now. And I just thought this before the show. I said, what can I talk about? Well, let's take a look. Seeing this is a birthday. Birthdays are a time of reflection. You kind of want to think, what is life like? Where are we now kind of thing? What's the world going to look like, after we're gone? And the biggest, I don't worry about death, except that I'm going to miss what happens next, here on Earth. And so the death part doesn't bother me. Once you've been through, one of those hospital surgeries where they basically – stop your heart and lungs. There's not a whole lot of, you're clinically dead, for several hours and having not remembered any of that. So that's not a particularly, particular problem. But the problem for me, it's just like, I'm going to miss like all these cool things that are going to go on after I'm gone. And so this is why you have to make the most of your time here. And so at 64, what did Churchill say, closer to the end than the beginning, but I'm feeling pretty good. It's just getting, I want to get back into archery. So I got my archery bow and I had to, one of the limbs broke. So I had to replace that. And I upped the poundage. I had a 32 pound recurve bow, wooden bow, before. And now I've upped it to 35. And that doesn't sound like a lot until you pull it. Recurves are different than the crossbows, those compound things. They might be 60 pounds, but they're weighted and levered and cantilevered, and they have all these other wires and pulleys and things like that. So the initial pull's really hard, but that quickly goes to like nothing, because it's all geared. Whereas a recurve bow, the tension gets harder. The further you pull it back, the stronger the pull. And so it's great for building up your muscles. So I'm working on my archery muscles right now, so I can go do archery. And again, there's a lot of people, they think retirement, that's it, sit on the porch, drink lemonade, watch the sunset, sit in the rocker. Not this guy. I finally found a job I like. So the irony for me is that it took till retirement to actually finally find the company that I wanted to start, the place I wanted to work, and the things that, other than my airline pilot career, which didn't work out. But other than that, this is the dream come true. This is fun. So at 64, so I was born in 1959, so I'm one of the last of the baby boomers. Some say it ends in 1960. I'm kind of in that camp, so baby boom was over in 1960. Others are saying, oh, and the baby boom went to 65. Nah, I don't think so. If you're born in the 60s, you're a different animal. It's just that simple. And so a lot of things changed. The drafts, the Selective Service, started January 1 of 1960. You know, so being born in October 19th of 1959, I missed that. So I never worried about Selective Service, even though I wasn't even a citizen yet. But, you know, they don't care about that. If you're in the country and you're male, you're eligible. Other thing I know is that I'm one day older than Dr. Robert Malone, who was on the show. When I looked him up, I found his birthday, October 20th. So his birthday is tomorrow. So, in fact, I might only be a few hours older because I think I was born about 10 o'clock at night. And so that's interesting. So anyway, so that's how that goes. But I remember, you know, the first thing you notice, I think, overall, is that the technology has gotten better and the people have gotten worse. back when I was a kid, when you didn't have all the computers, all the references, all the things like that, your word really meant something. You know, your reputation really meant something. You know, when you said something or promised something or are committed to something or agreed to something, you really were held to it. And that's like, even like, you know, making arrangements to meet with friends now, because nobody cares. You know, and maybe that's more of a California thing, because people in California will cancel on you with no notice whatsoever if a deal comes along. And they won't even tell you. They'll just not be there. You know, so it's harder to form friendships, I think, in California, just for that reason, because people are so, you know, non-committal. But maybe that's younger folks, and I got there at a different time. So don't remember the 50s. I was only in them, you know, for like a couple of months. Then we get to the 60s. My first memory historically is the assassination of John Kennedy. I think that was in 63, so I would have been, or 64. I think it was 64. I would have been 4 years old when that happened. And that's the first news thing that I remember, because it was such a traumatic event for everybody. I remember seeing the Zapruder film. I had these flashes of memory in my brain of way back when. And that's about it as far as, you know, news goes. So I was in Canada. You know, Canada, when I was in Canada, it was very much of a white Christian country. Now they've imported a whole bunch of other folks, and it's quite a bit different. But in those days, Canada was like England, was like Australia, was like the United States. You know, was a predominantly white country. But, you know, there wasn't a prejudice about it. Nobody cared. You know, we talked about the folks. We had Canadian Indians, just like you have American Indians. You know, we had the different races around the world. And it wasn't a big deal. There was no race classification in Canada that I remember. But we had Canadian history. We were proud Canadians. And I remember going to the centennial of Canada, 1967, from when Canada, you know, became a country, 1867. And so I've forgotten some of my Canadian history, but as for the founding, still a Commonwealth, and they're still part of the Commonwealth of Great Britain. You know, the head of Canada is not the Prime Minister; it's the Adjutant General or whatever it is, the representative of King Charles. Now Canada should be, I think it's like a minor connection now. I mean, they really got to fix that. Canada, you got to get completely separate from England, especially under King Charles. He's the last person you want to have any kind of monarch, you know, powers over Canada. But it was fun being Canadian. You know, Canada wasn't born with anybody. The United States was starting the Vietnam War in the Vietnam War in 1967. We didn't hear much about it in Canada. I don't remember hearing a lot about the United States. And so that was, but it was fun, you know. But, you know, I didn't ever, you know, the first thing I noticed about school is I didn't quite fit in. This was a lifelong pattern. So I didn't fit in Canada. And then my parents sent me to Australia when I was 8 years old. And so I went from a Canadian, you know, public school to an Australian private school. And so it was an all-boys school. We had the school uniform. I looked like Angus Young, you know, of AC/DC, which is probably why he wears his. I mean, obviously that ingrained on his personality too. And so it was the English style. So, what was interesting was a bunch of people went to private schools because they were better than the government schools. They just were. And so I was fortunate enough to go to a very good private school in Melbourne. Australia. And what was interesting was the kids in uniform were kind of watched over by like the people, the city, the citizens of Melbourne, because we ride streetcars to school. We didn't have school buses. I didn't know what a school bus was until I came to the United States, right? And what's these big yellow buses? Oh, they're school buses. Well, what's a school bus? You know, we used to walk to school. I took streetcars, and we all got passes. And it was perfectly acceptable for young kids. I was 8 years old taking two streetcars to school. And no problem. The conductors all knew who we were. You know, we were regular commuters on the streetcars, and we were perfectly safe. Well, maybe not so much at the parks at night. But I was left alone a lot. I basically raised myself. That's another story. The school was fabulous. And we were doing amazing things at a young age. We used to do all-day field trips. We did things that you could never do in an American public school. We do all-day field trips. We brought tape recorders with us at 10 years old. I'm doing interviews with people at 10. Okay, so I'm already starting my radio career at 10 years old. And the school was very good about experimenting. I went to Caulfield Grammar, and there's another school called Melbourne Grammar. Melbourne Grammar was like the old English, very much like the Pink Floyd. We don't need no education. You know, it's like, you know, leave the kids alone. That was the strict old English, you know, you got caned, very much a discipline school, but not really big on creative stuff. They were very traditional. They were like, if you watched Dead Poets Society, you know, the way that Mr. Keating, you know, the Robin Williams character, you know, made everything live. That was more my school, Caulfield Grammar. Melbourne Grammar was more of the form of the poem is this, and a good poem has these components. And they were more regimented in their education. And so I was fortunate, the school I went to, we did all day field trips. They sent us to a farm for a week. You know, we had to live on a farm because the school had a farm. I mean, how many kids get a chance to do that, right? So I lived on a farm. I didn't learn how to milk cows. I wish I did. But did everything else. I ended up doing a lot of dishes because they didn't figure I was too bright and that's where I should be. But I love being on the farm, and I talked to the folks that lived on the farm, and it was a great experience, and I had a great appreciation for farmers ever since. And so that's very important. We've got Pianist's comment. I mean, read this first. I usually read these cold because it's more interesting. Arnold Toynbee, historian, when we classify mankind by color, the only one of the primary races which has not made a creative contribution to anyone of our 21 civilizations is the black race. Huh. Jackie says, when I was in elementary school, we were on month-long trips. You do month-long trips in elementary school? Wow. You'll have to tell me about that. You know, call the show. Feel free. We're pretty much open this hour. Anyway, so we had a farm. We did one field trip, I think, when I was 12 before I moved to the United States, where we went for 3 weeks on a bus trip, and they took the students they could trust, you know, and so we took this amazing bus trip, and one of my favorite adventures on that trip was we went to a park to have lunch, and next to it was a prison. So you know me, right? I had to ask. So I asked my teachers, I said, can we go visit the prison? Greg, I don't know about that. Go ahead, ask. Okay. So one of my teachers goes over and talks to the warden, and we actually got to go in the prison. So really, these 12-year-old kids sitting in prison with real felons. I mean, they had us in the same, you know, not the violent ones, but we had people, and as the warden explained to us, he said, you know, these are people who made a mistake, and this is the Department of Corrections. We're trying to fix that mistake so they don't do it again. So I actually got to talk to inmates at 12 years old. And so I think, you know, I was kind of like born to radio at a very early age. Anyway, Australia was about 20 or so years behind the United States. My milk came in a horse-drawn cart. You know, here I'm 8 years old. My first memory of Melbourne is that, and we were on the outskirts of Melbourne, in a little place called Malvern, the northern part of the city, which became better known because the Australian Open was played about a mile from my house. Anyway, so there in Malvern, there was a local dairy which had horse-drawn carts. So, you know, I thought it was like an 1800s cowboy movie, right? So my milk comes up in a horse-drawn cart in a bottle, and the guy hops out and, you know, leaves milk on the steps of our house, and then where we go. Newspapers delivered, things like that, but they had separate stores. This was like so here I'm in 1960s Australia, but it was really like 1940s United States. You know, there was a greengrocer, or, you know, what we call like the produce market. They had a separate butcher shop. They had something they called milk bars in Australia, which were like, you know, dairy, soda fountain, kind of all combination, you know, things like that. So Australia is very interesting. The technology, again, was back many years, but the people were fabulous. And the attitude in Australia, it's very competitive, as you'll see on specials, but it's also very supportive competitive. I was made to play sports. You know, I played like, you know, the softball, stuff like that. They put us on a softball league, you know, at like, you know, 6 years old. So that was kind of fun. But in Australia, you had to play sports. And I was exposed to a bunch of things. Field hockey was kind of weird. That's like a girl sport in the United States. But in Australia, there's no ice, right? They don't have a hockey team. So men play field hockey. And so that was kind of weird. I wasn't crazy about that. Tennis, I absolutely loved, and became actually won our sophomore equivalent. Or was it eighth grade? I guess it was eighth grade. I was part of has half the doubles team that won, you know, for our school year that year. That was kind of cool. So then we had, and then I had tried crew. I actually ended up on the rowing team. That was fabulous too. So they made us do a lot of things. And I played Australian football and I played cricket and I sucked at both of them. I'm not good at team sports. I like the individual ones. But Australia was great. And that's what started me also playing in a band. You know, I wanted to play trumpet, and this is my band director. I said, I sucked. Greg, you suck. We didn't really say that, but he's like, he's a Dutch guy. Oh, Marco, you'll appreciate this story. So my Australian music teacher in Caulfield Grammar in Melbourne was Mr. Beckendam. And Mr. Beckendam was Dutch, and he spoke with a very strong accent. He says, Penglis, he says, you will never be a good trumpet player. And I'm like 10 years old. I'm all upset, right? You know, I'm almost crying. It's like, you know, I want to be Herb Alpert, right? He says, your lips are too big. He says, but you would be a good tuba player. I'm like, what's a tuba? All right. So I'm thinking, then he brings out this enormous, you know, metal tubing and piping and things like that. Well, I was better on tuba in half an hour than I was after a year of playing trumpet. So I just took to it, and I played tuba all the way through college. Got a solo in the University of Massachusetts Marching Band, first time they've ever had a tuba solo, as far as I know. Ended up playing on my knees at some point. It was really kind of cool. So Australia, I'll pick up my story a bit because I got a friend of mine calling in right now. But it was Australia was really good for me because they made me do things. They made me play sports, and I didn't want to play sports. It's like, well, you have to play sports. Well, why? Well, because you have to. It's required. Oh, okay. You know. So, but the thing was, they didn't care if you lost. They just care if you didn't try. So in Australia, it's very different. This is the way I never played sports in American schools because the attitude is win at all costs. And if you don't win, you're a loser. Well, that's bad for kids. In Australia, it was, you know, we don't care if you win or lose. It's nice to win. Yeah, great. You know, everybody wants to win, right? But if you lose, that's not the problem. Not trying, that was the problem. So if you didn't give it your best shot, that's when they got after you. And that's what I learned from Australia. So winning and losing, this is why, you know, to this day, the way I judge things is very different. It's like, did you try? You know, as the Greeks say, did you live your life with passion? You know, are those the things that, you know, that make your life worthwhile? Anyway, I want to introduce you to my friend Michelle, who's never called the show before. I don't even know if she's listened to the show. Sorry. But Michelle has the same birthday as me. And so I asked her, like, what, 20 minutes before the show started? I said, hey, Michelle, you want to call in? Hey, Michelle.
Am I on right now?
You're on right now. You're on the air. You're broadcasting worldwide.
Oh,
don't get nervous, okay?
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah, we don't have a producer.
Birthday.
It's me. Let's sing happy birthday to us. Happy birthday to us.
Happy birthday
to us. Happy birthday to dear Michelle. Happy birthday to us.
Yay.
Yeah, there we go. That's going to be all next on the podcast. Today's a great day. So what are you doing for your birthday?
A very exciting day I've planned ahead. I'm off work today, and I'm getting my hair done this afternoon on 12th Avenue at 3:30. And then
say
I
where,
think I'm
going to
get
be there.
Up.
You're on worldwide radio.
What?
Don't say where because people might just go, oh, I heard you on the radio this morning. Anyway, no, go ahead.
Right. But anyway, I'm going to get takeout, I think, from McGuire's and get steak. I've been craving steak. So I'm going to get steak and their homemade bread pudding because I love it. So that's what I'm going to do because I have to open tomorrow. So I think I'm going to do my real birthday on Saturday. So
okay.
That's my plan. Watch TV. It'll be a nice day because I've been working a lot. So I'm just going to relax. So, and I just got my morning wake up call from my parents. So that was nice.
Aww.
Talk to them.
Yeah. Mine have both passed away.
Yep.
So they won't be calling.
At
least not the usual way. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, this is it's part of life, you know, and so I accept it. And, you know, I think, you know, strong belief in God makes a huge difference. And so you just kind of, there's a lot of things I don't worry about. You know, I used to worry about things when I was, you know, much more of an individual. It's like, it's all on me, you know, and then you think, well, you know, and then as I've developed, you know, and grown a real close relationship with God directly, as opposed to kind of like just studying intellectually, everything makes a difference. Like Action Radio, you know, I've been through all kinds of problems and crises and poverty and all kinds of things like that. But I've never worried about it because I know that this is going to work. And I know that that what we're doing here is incredibly important. And even though we have a lot of fun sometimes, this is my purpose. So once you find your purpose, you don't worry about a whole lot of other things. You just keep, you know, living your purpose. Yeah, well, didn't mean to go on that tangent. But
I know heaven's real. Everybody's up there and they're with us. I still believe that. And there's little ways they show you every day. I think it's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. Do you notice living in this area? So I'm in Milton, and we are in the greater panhandle. We've got Pensacola to our west, about half an hour's drive. We've got, I think, Crestwood to the east, half, another half hour that way. Tallahassee's like 3 hours away. So way up in the upper left northwest corner of the panhandle of Florida. This is a very interesting area. It's very different from where I was in California, which was, I don't know, atheist, leftist. Everybody hated everybody, even though it was supposed to be, the friendly place. It was friendly when I got there, but when I left, it was a terrible place.
Everybody's leaving there now.
Yeah.
California. What's going on there is kind of crazy, like with the open door theft policy that they got going right now is just wrong. I mean, that makes no sense at all that that's okay. You know, what they're doing to store owners out there, like a lot of crazy stuff's going on out there. So I think people, even where I work, they come in, it's a gift shop. I'm a gift shop girl. There's people coming in that moving into our area from California because they're just like done. They're done being out there because they said it's crazy out there.
It is. And there's two types of Californians. There's the one that I'm trying to be, which is leaving California in California, not bringing it with me. And those that are it's like the New Yorkers and New Jersey folks that are coming down here. They want the good cost of living and the no taxes, but they also want their socialism. And so those that want to, that like California socialism, please stay there. Don't bring it to Florida. We don't want it here.
Right.
What are you seeing?
The way we live down here. Yeah, I think you've got those too, but I think there are some that are getting out of there because they aren't happy with it, with how they're handling things and like the way we do things down here too. There are those that are on board. But yeah, the other ones, they're going to come here, kind of go with the flow then. So
yeah,
is what I would suggest. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about our common birthday here, because I always find it interesting to talk to people born on the same day I am. It's interesting, not the same year. It's hard to find people born on the exact same day. Like I say, Dr. Robert Malone is born the day after. We had an interesting chat. but being both Libras, I want to see if I can find someone born on the exact same day and get them on the show, because we would have done all the same things at the same time. We went through high school with the same music. If we went to college, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Oh, no, I just was agreeing. Yeah, right.
Yeah, and so we're a few years apart. You can say how many you want. I'll leave that up to you. But it does make a difference.
We're 11 years apart.
Yeah, and so your music was a little bit different. I think one of the best decades out there was the 80s. And so I remember the 60s, I was too young. And I missed I was found to be a hippie, although I probably would have been, especially I ended up living, I lived across from the Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco, right on the other side of the panhandle. So I was a regular visitor to the Haight when the Haight was still the Haight. It wasn't all commercialized, gentrified, bought out and, chain stores and things like that. Do you ever go there?
Mm-hmm. No, I have not.
Okay, it's too late.
There.
Sorry. Well,
I missed my window.
What's that? Yeah, you got to catch things when you can. Yeah, it's interesting about that too. That's another thing I observe at 64. That every decade there are things that are closed off to you. Like I'm not going to get hired to start a career at 64, so I started my own business. Now, I'm not done. I got tons of things left to do. Let's talk about October 19th birthdays, because this is a lot of things. I think I've forgotten who are some of the people born on this day, but it's kind of interesting that go ahead. Do you know?
Other Libras that were Libras, like John Lennon, I think, was a Libra.
Mm-hmm.
Can't right off the top of my head right now. I can't remember anybody else right now. But,
well, we could look it up, but you know what?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I just said, I can't think of who else right now, but I think he was.
Oh, I'm sure. I'll look it up right now. And what's interesting, in fact, Mark on the Netherlands is listening. If you can quickly pull up, birthdays on October 19th, that would be very interesting to find out. Do you find, as I do, that there are two times of the year when things happen? Changing jobs, big events, trips, stuff, world history events, things like that, are October and April. Marco's going to look it up. Thanks, Marco. Appreciate it. So we have instant communication here worldwide. It's really kind of fun. But do you find the same thing I find, that October and April are like the 2 months when most of the big changes in life take place? Is that true for
Usually,
you?
Usually. Maybe. I mean, recently I would say last July was a big change, or November. But I'd say in years past, October has usually just always been a good month for me, probably because it's my birthday month, lean and fall. Those have always grown up too. It signifies just growing up, that all the things that happened in October were always good and part of my favorites. So for me, October has always been good.
Huh. Well, it's a big change month. It's a big change month. Like summer and winter are more stable, but spring and fall are like the big change months, are big change seasons. So I think that makes a difference. Famous birthdays. Here we go. People I don't know. Lil Durk. Yeah. Michael Gambon, who just died. Let's see if I can find somebody I recognize here. Who is born on this day? These are all young people. I don't know who these people are. We give some old. Floyd Merriweather. He was born on this day. Who else do I recognize? Let's get some older folks here. Nope. Infamous Butterfly. I don't know who that is, but they're born on this day.
Me. No.
Yeah, you're born. Yeah, you and I are born. Evander Holyfield. I recognize all the boxers. That's interesting. So they were born on this day. Let me see. John Lithgow. Oh, he's an interesting. Do you know John Lithgow?
Did you ever see, he died. Or he was born. Yeah, from the.
But he's still alive. He's still alive. But
yeah,
he did. He was Big Booty in Buckaroo Banzai. And he was also in Cliffhanger, and he's a fascinating actor. He does really challenging parts. So thanks, Marco, but I don't recognize like 90% of the people on this birthday list. You know what's interesting? Do you know what profession Libras tend to gravitate to in large number, in disproportionate numbers?
I don't.
You're gonna laugh.
Lawyers, because their balance scale.
It might be lawyers, but it's actually talk show hosts.
Oh, okay. Well, oddly enough, that's what I wanted to be. Or
really?
Radio broadcast. That was one of the things I did, like drama in high school, and did that, and I got to DJ just a little bit in college at kind of a sports bar. Had their night for a little bit.
Mm. Well, you know, this show is the land of opportunity. Anybody that wants to do a report, I'd be perfectly happy to let you think of a report, come on for an hour, plan something out, and talk about a subject. Give it a shot.
Yeah. I ended up being a teacher, preschool teacher, or I always was kind of very creative and artistic, and I was always told I should go into commercial art through my art teachers, and I thought about that too. But I love kids, so I ended up going the kid route. So and I loved
kids
it.
Kids are great.
I really did.
Yeah. Well, I think teaching in radio. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I love what I'm doing now too. I've never done it before, but retail, and everybody's happy. They're all on vacation, and I'm meeting lots of people, and I enjoy it. It's fun. I actually love going to work. So,
that's the whole point. Yeah, you spend so much time at work.
Yeah.
If you don't love it, it's really a problem.
Right. No, I've been lucky to enjoy, really love my jobs. So, that's a good thing.
You can tell we got two fellow Libras here. We're both talking like crazy. never at a loss for words.
No, we talk a lot. That's what we do.
Yeah. It really is. And if friends want to talk, go find a Libra friend. We'll talk to you. We'll listen to your problems. We'll have 15 different solutions because we have trouble making decisions, apparently. Although I don't really do they say Libras have trouble with decisions. I've never really had a problem doing that.
That's decisive. I can be at times when I'm shopping, too many choices, but I kind of know what I like though. So I don't think I'm that indecisive either.
I think they got that one wrong. It must have been written by a Pisces.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
We should do like an astrology, date pick, like who's the best match for October 19th people. That'd be kind of funny.
Right.
But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I said then we'll write up our own definition of a Libra.
Yeah. Well, put on the show. If you want to do an astrology report, that would be hysterical. Make up your own. Michelle's astrology report. I got just a couple things before I get Bianca in the line. Here's Marco texted in.
Okay.
He says, a Harvard alumni and a Fulbright scholar, John Lithgow, began his career with Broadway and later also performed with the Royal Shakespeare Company. Oh, I should read this in a British accent. John Lithgow performed with the Royal Shakespeare Company. Known for his Emmy-winning performances in Third Rock from the Sun, which I think I've seen half of one episode, Dexter, don't know that one, and The Crown.
Oh,
Lithgow is also... Do you know that one? Which one?
I watched some of Dexter. That was about... I think he was a cop, but also a serial killer that was killing serial killers, I think.
Oh, that's
it was kind of funny. Or yeah, it was. I think it won awards. I forget if it's on HBO or one of those originals.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
How did I miss that? A serial killer killing serial killers? What was I thinking?
Yeah, nice time.
Yeah.
He was actually a bad guy, but getting the bad guys. So.
Oh, he's played a bad guy several times. He wasn't the main character, though.
He must have been a guest star on it or something.
That's interesting.
On Dexter.
Who was the serial killer killer?
I can't remember because I didn't have HBO at the time. I only watched a couple episodes, so I can't remember who that guy was.
Yeah. So you had more technology than I did growing up, but not by much. So where were you on the phone scale? Because I go back to rotary dial phones and no answering machines. That's where I started life. What do you remember?
Me too. We had that, and then we had, like, different phones in the house. But if you lifted up the thing, everybody could hear your conversation. You know what
Uh-oh.
I mean?
Yeah.
Could drop on people in your own house if you wanted to. And I didn't have my first cell phone until 1997. And it was a Nokia, very basic. And the only reason I got it was, no, it was 1998, because I was pregnant with our first daughter and driving to, we were stationed in Jacksonville, and I worked at a private Jewish school over in Mandarin. So I had a little bit of a drive, like 30 minutes with traffic and stuff. And so my dad actually said, you should probably get one, because my ex-husband was off on a carrier at the time, and he said, that way it's a car, you have any, at least you can call 911 or something. So that was my first phone, and it didn't do anything. It was so basic, like he had phone numbers in it, and that was it didn't text anything. So that was my first like cell phone per se. And then through the years I had an answer machine in college, and that was fun because we'd put on like dumb thing, you know you're recorded. I'd had a really good one that faked everybody out where they thought they were talking to me, but it wasn't, and it sounded
real.
Did
that. Yep. Remember the tinfoil thing, so it would only go so far, and it was answering machines was such a blessing. I was out of college before I had my first answering machine. And I loved it because I didn't have to pick up the phone. I didn't have to wonder who was on the other end. See, kids today, they know who's on the other end. Or they don't answer, or they just let it go to voicemail. You know, and you miss all the fun, especially for like teenage boys having to call up a girl for a date. And we had to, our first thought was, is dad going to pick up? because we didn't know who's going to answer the phone, right? So not only was it hard enough to ask somebody out when you're in high school, but you had to double.
But your mom or dad answering the phone, and your dad would be like, this boy on the phone for you. And then giving you like a look. Like, who's calling?
Yeah, I was wondering what your perspective was. Yeah, exactly. So that's the opposite. Yeah, dads are like that.
Like,
so
go away so I can talk, please. Because I didn't have a phone.
Your line's breaking up a little tiny bit. I'm not sure. We're missing a couple.
Sorry.
That's okay. No, it's not your fault. It's just technology. Yeah. Look, I can't type in the live chat. I've been doing this show for 5 years, and once I discovered live chat, I only really started using it the last couple of years, but I can't even type into it today. It's not registering me. So something's wrong with our system. Mm-hmm. They have glitches all the time. So voice stuff, it's not the best signal in the world. I'd love to have my own website one day. I can do that. Let me ask you, sorry, Pianki, I'm just on a roll with Michelle here. We've never talked on the show before. I was thinking, I had a question for you. This is an October 19th question, that when I started school, my folks had, this is in Canada, up in Toronto, they had two choices. They could sort of advance me where I was the youngest kid in the class, or they could hold me back a bit. So I'd be one of the oldest kids in the class, because October is kind of like that overlap period.
Right.
Or if you're born September or October, you can either start at 5 or 6, and they started me at 5. So I started college at 17. I was always one of the youngest in the school, just because and a lot of other October kids were like the year behind me, and we were born same year. What were you?
I was older ones, because I was also one of the first ones to get my driver's license, because they would split that up. So I would say they just enrolled me that way. I didn't wait a year or anything. I just went in, but that made me a little bit older than some of the kids for sure in my graduating class. just because it was a fall birthday early, you know.
Right. So your parents would have started you the year after my parents started me, which I think would have been easier.
Right.
Because I always felt young, and I was. You know, I mean, you know, you don't think 6 months is a big difference, but, you know, when you're 6 years old, it's a huge difference.
Oh, yeah, it is. Mm-hmm.
You know,
but for some kids, I mean, doing what I've done with preschool, some children I recommend it highly. Give them one more year to mature a little bit and socialize, get their social skills ready, because they're just not ready to sit and just do homework like worksheets and have to sit and listen for very long periods of time. So they'd be better off giving them one more year to grow and mature, and then they'll go into kindergarten being ready to go, and they'll love school. So people have listened to that, and I've always heard back that was the best thing, to let them have that one more year to get a little more grown up before they hit kindergarten.
Yeah,
never
got that.
Yeah.
But my school was weird, because when I left Canada, I was in third grade, and the way the school year worked, because it's opposite in Australia, because the seasons are opposite. You know, winter is summer and summer is winter. And so the summer holidays are, you know, December, January, February, or December and January.
Pretty hot.
Yeah, well, it's hot. I mean, Christmas on the, you know, a white Christmas in Australia is on the beach, because it's, you know, December 25th, a lot of times the hottest day of the year. And so the seasons were reversed. So my school was, so I did most third grade, then ended up going into the last part of fourth grade, you know, and it was weird. And then when I came to the United States, I already had the first half of eighth grade, but they started me back at eighth grade, and I was bored silly. So it was crazy that it all worked out. All right. So let's get Pianki in the line here and see what he thinks of our October birthday. Go ahead. What were you going to say, Michelle?
My sister's lived in Australia for 23 years now, and my niece and nephew were born and raised there. So I know a little bit about Australia. I haven't been there yet, because they usually come home to see my parents and everybody. Uh-huh. My mom can't fly are because of her high blood pressure and stuff to bring weight.
Wow.
So but now they don't travel. That's a big flight, and the doctor said that's not good for my mom. So, but that's where they've been, and my niece and nephew, you know, are definitely born and raised there with the accent and everything. So, but yeah.
G'day.
My sister,
how's it going?
Out there. Yeah, she just had a birthday finally last weekend. She's so happy it's getting warm there again. So.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah. Well, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just wondering what brought you to Australia. Was in Canada, then Australia.
I was a kid. It was involuntary. It wasn't my choice. They just picked me up and moved me. You know, I didn't have any say in it. The first place I had a say in moving was California, and that was when I was 24. So I was brought, you know, to Australia. I was brought to the United States. And I, you know, in Canada, I didn't know anything about Australia. And Australia didn't know anything about the United States. So I'm having to learn new countries over again. And that makes Marco says, throw another shrimp on the bobby, mate. G'day, Marco.
Right.
How's it going over there in the Netherlands? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway. Crikey, mate. Anyway, no, I had a Australian accent when I came to the United States, but it was interesting learning different countries, and you think, well, they all speak English, they're the same. No, they're not in any way. They're very, very different places. And it's
demographic
really
location, plain, just kind of like America. Yeah. We're all different here too, the South versus East Coast, and the North, everywhere, a little bit different.
Yeah. Well, look at the gene pool of Australians. They're all descended from Irish prisoners. That's why they're all so competitive and crazy. You know, the British did. They sent all the Irish prisoners down there, and so they went from there. Let's get Pianki. Hey, Pianki, what do you think of October birthday people? Do you know any other than me? Do you know any other October folks?
Well, the committed deity Harmaku of the scales was replaced by Libra when the West took over, so...
Well, wait a minute, folks. Hold on. This is interesting. Okay, so Michelle, meet Pianki. Pianki, meet Michelle. Pianki's a regular, you know, caller contributor, and you know, we have some fabulous debates sometimes, great conversations, and occasional arguments, which makes it really interesting. But he knows amazing things. And so, I always wondered why the scales, and I'll go back to Michelle, but why the scales? It's the only sign of the zodiac that is inanimate, not living. And so, Michelle, did you have a comment on that? Because I wonder why that was. Why don't we get a critter?
I don't know. I just know the whole feeling of being empathetic and understanding and fair. I feel innately in our dispositions, we are truth seekers and carry those qualities that we are fair in a sense to listen to both sides and decide accordingly, or that's kind of how we go through life dealing with people and like
right.
listening, like you said. Maybe that's why, because we kind of have a big heart that way in how we handle people with situations where we're kind of fair, you know, or like not necessarily like things to be fair, but I think we'll weigh both sides before we make a decision and going forward.
Yeah, I think
so maybe
that's
our,
no, I think that's in our system.
Strong.
I think the sense of justice and fair play is very strong in Libras. Yeah. So the scales are the scales of justice. And I guess, yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. Pianki, what is this? Harmaku. All I could think of was Hakuna Matata, you know, don't worry, be happy, or something like that. Whatever that thing is from the movie. But who is Harmaku? And how were they represented?
That was, those were what you call zoologic signs today. It wasn't zoologic, it was
astrologic.
Those signs was created by people back there in the ancient, what we call ancient Egyptian times.
I thought it was the Druids, or maybe they just used the astrology signs. Because I've been to Stonehenge. Stonehenge is a fabulous place.
I've been
there. Yeah, isn't it great? Now, did you do the copper rod thing?
No, I was on a bus tour. We only got to stop for a little. They didn't even have a gift shop, but it was cool. I'm glad I got to go.
No, I was there with my kid, and we spent hours there. It was fabulous, and it was fascinating. But there was one thing, they have this divining rod, you know, thing, or the copper rods for, like, finding water and things like that. But apparently with empaths, which I am, and you might be too, being a fellow October 19th person, when you pick up the copper rods on the swivel, they immediately cross in front of you. So we can't use them because we have such a strong field, apparently, strong electric field, that the copper rods immediately cross. And so they don't cross when you get over water. They just cross right away. And that's unusual. And so try the copper rod. Go ahead.
And why does that happen with us? Because we're what?
We're empaths. Well, it happens with empaths.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a Libra empath, I'm just saying. But I think a disproportionate of us are.
But
as an empath, it's a strong energy field that apparently makes copper wires. And I did that with a ghost chase. Several years later, I did it here in Milton, Florida, at the Imogene Theater, where we have an event coming up, where the rods actually. What's that?
I'm looking to do one for Saturday. I was looking into ghost tours and things for Saturday, but I'm not sure which one to do. I didn't know Milton had one too.
Well, they've got a ghost walk, but it wasn't a Milton thing. It was the what was the group called? There's a paranormal. Look up Paranormal Adventures or something like that. I think in Pensacola. They did the
There's
ghost
one
tour.
That was order that is rated pretty good too, and I know who the lady is that runs it or is part of it. She's a real psychic too. She's good. She's the real deal.
Yeah, the show. I mean, I've had them on the show. If we're talking about the same people, but the Imogene Theater, where we're doing our Citizen Legislation Day, January 7th, which I'll be talking much more about as we go on here. That place is completely filled with spirits. I felt them. I haven't seen them, but I felt them. And I remember sitting up there watching the Milton High School Jazz Band. And I'm sitting there in the balcony, and it's just me. And there's some folks scattered around up top there. It wasn't a hugely crowded performance, mostly parents on the ground, you know, watching their kids. But somebody, you know, came up and sat beside me, you know, and there was nobody there. I'm looking, and I'm feeling a presence, like, right beside me. And it's like, you know, a person is, you know when someone's looking at you, you look behind you, you see them staring at you? It was that kind of thing.
Right.
And so I knew there was a spirit there. I knew there was a presence there. And it was there for about 20 minutes, and then just got up and left.
Wow.
I couldn't see anything. That's the Imogene. So Imogene and I have a real kind of special relationship. That's why we're going there. We still got to get back to Bianchi's story. Go ahead, Michelle.
No, I love that stuff. I'm into all that stuff, too.
Well, come visit. I'll show you around. It's kind of a neat place up here.
All right. That'd be fun.
Yeah. And I'll give me the gift shop tour.
Right.
So, yeah, back to Bianchi. So what was the representation of the Libra before it was the scales?
No, it was before it was Lieber. It was Harmaku.
And who's Harmaku?
That's a Kemet deity.
And what's
Eris was a ram-headed. Eris was a ram-headed Amun. See, Greek. That was way before Greeks became who they are. You know, it's a funny thing you talk about Stonehenge.
Uh-huh.
You can draw a line between a spot in Massachusetts through Stonehenge straight to Lebanon. And the Lebanese was the original Phoenicians, who was the original Carthaginians from history. But with the advent of GPS satellites, you can draw a straight line between. You go right through the twin openings in Stonehenge, like an arrow, and straight on further east and take you to Lebanon.
Wow.
Okay, I'm looking at a globe right now, and I'm not seeing that because England is north. If you look at the parallels, you've got Massachusetts is, let me see. There's the...
Now, I might be off on the state in the United States because there's several things that goes on with it. But if you go the other way, go from Lebanon through the Stonehenge, then it would take you over to the U.S. Basically, what they're saying that those people had arrived in the U.S. Before any...
Okay, so if you figure... If you look at a map, I've got Lebanon here, which is, you know, right next to Israel. Just north of it. And let me see. So there's Israel. There's England. If I'm looking across the Mediterranean, across the southern part of Eastern Europe, actually it goes to Lebanon, to Greece, to England, and then it goes to like Greenland. Take a look at a map sometime. I dispute that only because I'm looking at a globe right now.
I may be off on the difference between Lebanon and England because there's a lot of stories regarding that. And I'll let you know tomorrow.
Yeah. We do that a lot on the show, Michelle, because we all have fragments of stories that we know, and we always like to research them and find out. And a lot of times, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. You know, because now I'm curious, right? So, go ahead, Michelle. What were you going to say?
Oh, no. I think that's always good to fact check or research, check it out.
Yeah, because we make mistakes. I do all the time. I'm always correcting myself the next day or the day after. Well, you remember what I said then? That was wrong. You know, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting the replacement of the signs. So astrology goes back. I think the Druids, probably Egypt as well. I don't know about Greece with mythology. I don't know how they did it. But it's interesting the different signs. You know, you got Capricorn. Capricorn's a goat. I'm just doing this from memory. Aries is a ram. Pisces is a fish. Libra is a scale, you know.
Well, the Chinese have their kind of symbolic thing on the Chinese New Year calendar of what year you were born. I think 1970 would have been year of the dog. I mean, everybody's kind of got their thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm year of the boar, and that's B-O-A-R, not year of the boar, you know, but yeah. Yeah, they say year of the pig for something. I don't like that. I don't want to be named the year of the pig. Go ahead.
The international dateline was down Khufu's pyramid there on the Giza plateau there in Egypt. That structure sits right in the center.
Not the international dateline. No, I'm going to dispute you again here. International dateline runs between Alaska and Russia. It drops right through the Pacific.
I said the original.
Oh, the original? Now, the prime meridian. Now, the prime meridian, that might be different. That runs through Greenwich, England. That's where you get Greenwich Mean Time from.
Well, let's call it the primary. The primary meridian was down in the middle of Khufu's pyramid there on Giza Plateau. They got ancient sea kings maps that show it.
Okay, now I'm looking at the primary meridian, and it goes right through France, and then Spain, and then Algeria.
The longitudinal line?
Uh-huh. I'm looking at it right now.
Okay, well, longitudinal line used to be down that structure there on the Giza Plateau. It sits right in the center of the Earth. When you stand in one spot there in the Great, inside the Great Pyramid, when you stand in the Great Hall, you stand in one spot, you got half of the Earth mass in front on one side of you and the other in front of you and behind you. You dead center.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, just all I would say is take a look at a world map and look up the prime meridian and the international dateline. And I think, this is what I'm getting off my globe. Marco has an interesting line. He says, the international dateline, is that the same as Tinder? Sorry, we're having too much fun here. So, Bianchi, do you know why the replacement took place? Why? What was it about astrology that they thought that Libra couldn't be Harmaku, had to be these inanimate scales? What was the change in that?
Because the Greeks came on the scene, they began to change things to their liking.
So why aren't we an animal?
Everybody else
why
is.
Are we a,
well, no, the yeah. twins are human. Gemini is represented by two humans.
Yeah, the twins, you know, like my dad's a Gemini.
Gemini and Heru.
What's that?
Gemini originally was the twin brothers, Soot and Haru.
Oh, then it became twin females. Oh, this is really interesting. Bianchi, can you put together something on this for us? This would be a great report of the original signs and what they became. Because now I'm curious.
And why?
Yeah,
and just
why?
Why?
Why would the Greeks do that?
We got questions.
Michelle, do you know anything
well,
about this?
Well,
this is
new to me. Like Arnold Thornby, the historian, what he said, when we classify mankind by color, the only one of the primary races, which has not made a creative contribution to any of our 21 civilizations, is the black race.
Well, that's about
that
the
was the type of racism that existed back then in those days.
Oh, yeah, they also say that's like saying black people are less intelligent because their cranium is smaller or head size is smaller and other nonsense like that. It's so stupid.
You know, what it was is you talk about the zoological signs.
Uh-huh.
If you draw a straight line through the center of the north pole to south pole, and you had that procession takes 25,000 years to go through all the astrological signs. And there's a calendar in Dendera in Egypt that shows that. So they had known that long before anybody else. Now, here's the point. In order to get that right, you would have to at least study it twice. So you're talking about over 50,000 years of study.
So wait a minute. So when you talk about precession, you're talking about the fact that the year is 365 and a quarter days? Did we get that extra little bit of time
no,
in there?
No, if you take a line, see what they call the houses. The zoological houses.
Right.
Like the sun goes through one house, the S-U-N sun goes through one house to the other. Like they talk about beta in languages like Hebrew is house. So at that line, it takes, it enters the house at, I think, 15 degrees and comes out at 30 degrees. If you were to take a circle and go around in the sky, in the space, you have
right.
these constellations. These constellations are right next to each other. Okay, so that imaginary line of the Earth, as the Earth tilts and goes through its precession, it takes 25,000 years for it to go past each and every one of those.
Okay,
houses.
Okay. Now I just want to know what the precession was that you're talking about. So now I understand what you're talking about. So as the Earth wobbles, you know, it moves a certain distance down, certain distance back as it precesses. Yeah.
Right.
That's down,
certain distance back, and it's a complete revolution, and it
well,
enters the house.
For, yeah, go ahead.
I think
go
it
ahead.
Enters the house at either 12 or 16, but it comes out at 30.
Well, you know, it's interesting
now,
for ice ages because ice ages take place about every 50,000 some odd years, right? And so if you have – that's two precessions of the Earth. So you've got like a warming
yeah.
period during one precession, and you've got an ice age at the next precession. That's interesting. Huh.
Now, what that was also related to, the time that a savior spent at home and entered into the world or died. Came into the house at 12, died, went out at 30.
Well, that's Jesus. That's interesting. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. This is fascinating. Let's throw in one more little thing. Michelle, do you have some more time? We're top of the hour, but I schedule all the breaks myself. We know there's no schedule on the show here. We just kind of keep rambling. But
okay.
I want to see. Can you stick around for a bit? Because this is getting interesting.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
With the global war, I don't know. I saw a show, and I still think that there's always been huge fluctuations in temps and all that around the world.
Uh-huh.
Because I think on a documentary or something, I watch a lot of those, that our Navy submarines have gone down, and there's a way to kind of tell about that. And this fluctuation in temperatures has always happened through the decades,
mm-hmm.
like
mm-hmm.
back 100 years of what they could see. So I'm not totally sold. I don't believe that all this temperature stuff is necessarily global warming. I just think it is what it is.
We've talked about the show several times. It's a bunch of nonsense. Yeah. Yeah. Carbon dioxide is good for the planet. We've had Gregory Wrightstone from the CO2 Coalition. Check out our Action Radio Environmental Action Project. We talk about it all the time. The former head of Greenpeace, you know, I got a 2-minute thing on what he was talking about. He left Greenpeace because they went all wacko on CO2 and other things. Without carbon dioxide, we all die. You know, that's what the plants breathe. And so it's part of the carbon cycle. You know, we're carbon life forms. You know, well, so this nonsense that getting rid of carbon dioxide is a good thing. No, it's going to kill everybody. These people are complete morons.
Right.
Hmm.
I think so. I just think it's a cycle. I mean, as far as the ice melting up North Pole and the South Pole, and that may be true. I'm not doubting that that's not happening right now, but I don't think it's our demise that we're causing it. I think it's just part of one of our cycles we're in right now.
Yeah, no, it's arrogance. It's arrogance to think that we're driving SUV is going to change the climate of the whole planet. That's just insane. Yeah, go ahead, Panky.
It had ice sheets in New York 3 times taller than an Empire State Building.
Yeah, you think Florida's crowded now? Wait till the next ice age. That's a great bumper sticker.
Well, they said back when I lived in Hawaii that all of Hawaii would be no more an underwater in 25 years. And
that was
back in 1993, 1994 when they were saying that. So
25 years would have been 2000 and let me see, 17, 18 or something like that. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Yeah. I think all the islands are still there.
Yeah. So. As far as I know.
So that's the geological history. The Grand Canyon was formed by glaciers moving from the north, going down south. The Mississippi River was 80 miles east of where it is now at one time. So Earth is moving.
Yeah. I never bought the theory that the Colorado River cut the Grand Canyon. That never made sense to me. Because how did the land get so far apart? Rivers don't do that. Unless the Earth is separating.
It wasn't a river. It was glaciers. The movement of glaciers. Yeah.
But that's not what we're taught in school. And they said, well, the Colorado River, you know, carved out the Grand Canyon. I'm like, I don't think so. You know, I don't know what did it, but it, you know, I didn't know about glaciers at the time. But that's what kids are taught in school. It's crazy because you look at how far apart those canyon walls are, and I'm like, you mean to tell me the river was that wide, you know, and then it got down to be that narrow, you know? Now that doesn't make sense. Anyway, glaciers make more sense. I'll go to something we talked about.
Just look at the Big Island. Now they've got 2 volcanoes actively erupting lava. I mean, that has been getting bigger every year for how long now by the one volcano? And I don't know my numbers, but I've got 2 going. So the island's going to just keep getting bigger. And that's what's going on right now. So I just think that's the way Earth is. It's always changing and evolving and having things going on. So
Earth does what it does without our approval. Yeah, it just does what it does. Yeah, it's kind of funny. We got to legislate that volcano away. I don't think so.
The volcanoes emit carbon dioxide, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah, carbon dioxide, sulfur dioxide, nitrogen dioxide, and sulfur and nitrogen, those are things they took out of car exhaust because they caused, you know, what they used to call acid rain. But you notice you don't hear about that anymore because cars are cleaner. So the only thing coming out the tailpipe, for the most part, I mean, there's still other stuff, but for the most part, it's carbon dioxide and water vapor. Well, water vapor makes clouds. Carbon dioxide is plant food. So most of what comes out of the tailpipe these days is not pollution, but it's actually good because we need to replace the carbon. We're actually liberating carbon by burning what we call organic fuels here. I don't use the term fossil anymore because they're not fossils. These aren't fossils. This is billions of tons of organic mud, plankton, organic stuff, algae, all that thing, you know, kind of all thrown together, compressed into hydrocarbons, you know, and you put a hydrocarbon, and Michelle, you might like this analogy, and some of you can, you know, tell your school teachers, but if you take a hydrocarbon, you know, which is petroleum, coal, oil, natural gas. And you you put gasoline in a car engine and you add oxygen, you know, fuel injection or carburetor. You mix those three together with a spark, you get ignition. Well, carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen are also the same components as carbohydrates in the food we eat. So isn't that interesting? Yeah. So who's to say that if cars are burning exactly the same molecules that we are using for food, how can you say right. that what comes out of the tailpipe is natural? It's carbon dioxide and water.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the whole origin of the acid rain was back during the industrial areas when they was making steel, and they was using coal in order to fire coal poke. Right. And they had tall chimneys, and emitting those smoke, it would get into the wind currents and head over to Africa.
Yeah.
And the acid rain would fall, and you know, it caused damage to help. It caused a lot of defoliation to go on.
Yeah. No, you're right. And what they did was they cleaned up the coal exhaust. You know, they used coal scrubbers.
On.
Yeah. So the answer is technology. And this is where technology has been just such a huge benefit. And the way out of most of our problems, like, you know, I've used the example many times on the show where, you know, the biggest concern in London in the late 1800s is that by the mid 1900s, London would be under 10 feet of horse poop. And they're really worried about that. Well, because all they had were horses.
Wow.
Then someone came along and invented the automobile and took care of that. You know, then they had other issues. But yeah, that was a major concern. It's fascinating. You look back at history. I want to do a little more astrological stuff for a bit here. Oh, you want to come in on that? Feel free. What do you think? Michelle, did you have a follow-up?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
And what on the
great horse poop controversy, or just the fact that technology gets us out of things that people worry about. Oh no, go ahead.
It would be a problem. Yeah, I hadn't heard about that one. That one's interesting, though.
Yeah, listen to the show. We have all kinds of crazy stuff that we do here. I want to talk about the Chinese signs for a bit because I find it interesting, and this might be a Pianchi question, that the Western astrological signs, there's 12 of them, one for each month. But the Chinese signs are also 12, but there's one for each year. And it's interesting that they could have picked any number because the years, there's no particular significance to years, whereas 12 months in a year makes 12 months makes a complete year. But 12 years, there's no cycle I know that the 12 years completes. And yet China – go ahead, Michelle.
What's their system of how you're assigned – your animal based on the year you were born? Do they have like a system of how they place their birth years to assign to an animal?
That's a good question. It's probably so old. It's probably so old that they don't, I don't, you know, it's been established for such a long time ago. Let me look up the 12 Chinese years and we'll see which is which. So I'll find out which one you are. Do you know which one you are, Michelle?
I think I'm the dog.
So someone wrote a book, actually. It was one of these kind of, dating matchup books, and they were talking about who's your best match or marriage or whatever. And it was based on both the astrological sign and the Chinese sign. So they combined your year. So I would be – oh, here we go. So I am a Libra boar, which was – what's boar here? They say pig here. 2019, 2007, 1995, 1983, and it goes all the way down to, obviously, 1959. So if you're of the dog, Dr. Dog, so that would be 2018, 26, 1994, 1982, and 12 years from that would be 1970. That would be you.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So look up the book that has the Chinese and the astrological signs, and it has its real personality profile, but it combines both the Chinese and the Western. Which is really interesting. There's some similarities.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, and I thought going back, Libras overall tending to have real empathetic tendencies in general. I'd taken that test back when I was in high school or right before entering college. It's like a personality test to kind of give you an idea what careers you might be good at or enjoy. It takes like 2 hours to take. It was like almost 900 questions. And I did it back then, and then I did it again when my oldest daughter was going into college, they made her do it, one of her classes, and I'm like, I'll do it again just for fun. And both times, not once, but twice, you want to know what the number one career choice is for me, according to them?
We've already talked about it. But what?
Being a funeral director. Yeah.
Not a talk show host? You wanted to be a talk show host when we started this conversation. Funeral director? You're kidding.
Funeral director. Both times. And I took it, you know, how many years apart back when I was going into college. And then I did it for fun when my oldest daughter was going to go into college. And both times, that was my number one job pick that they picked out for me, funeral home director, because I scored so high in the empathy categories, I guess, however they do the scoring and stuff. But so that's interesting. But it kind of falls in line with me, Zebra, too, you know.
You want to know what's more interesting? Do you know what test was? No. Do you know what that test was developed for? I know the test you're talking about. For determining the sanity or insanity of criminals. Because they asked the same question several times in different ways. It was originally a test. It was a psychological profile to determine whether you were sane enough to stand trial. And go back and read. And then the businesses said, well, let's use that for employment. And then the school said, oh, well, let's use that to test the students. Yeah, it's the same test.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Marco, if you're interested in the Netherlands, to look up. I don't know if you had that same test. Pianki, you know the test I'm talking about? Do you remember this?
No, you know, I never did do too much studying with the Chinese.
No, this is a Chinese thing. This is an American test given in schools. No. It was called the something personality career or whatever. Michelle, do you remember what it was called? Because I don't remember.
But it was the same thing. And it takes a while to take just because there's 900 questions. But it's supposed to just give you ideas of what areas you might want to go into based on your disposition and off of these questions they ask you. And I took it twice. The second time was just for fun to see if kind of just curious if where I would be at taking it that many years later, because my daughter took it and I got the same job both times, funeral home director.
Oh, you talking about a mechanical battery test. And when kids was during the time they had tracking, they had tracking in schools early on in, I guess, in the 1960s, in the 60s, where a high schooler would take a battery test, like putting square blocks and round holes and stuff like that, to see what your mechanical aptitude was. And your score, whatever it was, you would be tracked in whether liberal arts high school or technical high school.
Mm-hmm.
And track one, track two, and track three. Track three was just general. That's what they used.
Yeah, I just pulled up something from Psychology Today. They got a bunch of different tests here, but that's a whole different subject. But I remember hearing it was like a report, it was like a 60 Minutes report, and they talked about it's not the Myers-Briggs test. Marco asked about Myers-Briggs is a test to take your personality, and that Myers-Briggs is actually really good. I've taken it. It's extremely accurate. And so if you look up the Myers-Briggs, MyersBriggs, they wrote a book called Do What You Are. And so it matches the career to your personality. I guarantee, Michelle, if you take Myers-Briggs, you're not going to get funeral home director. You're going to get probably like what you're doing now, teacher and talk show host. Yeah, Myers-Briggs.
You know what a simpler method was? To give a person a hammer and a nail and let them hit the nail. If they hit their finger, they ain't no good at that.
Yeah,
I was just leaning back in my bookshelf. Yeah, yeah, I've got it here somewhere. I can drag it up. Yeah, Do What You Are. Is a fabulous book because I use it. I went to actually a career counselor in my 40s because nothing was working out. You know, the airline career didn't happen. You know, of course, the airlines went broke, had a little bit to do with it. But a bunch of stuff. In fact, I was talking to somebody recently who said that it wouldn't have mattered even if you gotten a job, you know, as a pilot, you know, 9/11 would have knocked you out too because they took years worth of pilots, you know, and scrubbed them from the airlines. So there were the two massive hits to the airlines. Now, of course, they have a massive shortage, but, you know, I'm 64. I don't want to. It's a bit late to start an airline career, but I certainly want to fly a jet upside down over Pensacola Beach. Michelle, are you interested? Want to go?
Sure.
Okay. Well, it's easy. Okay, cool. But some of the tests are good, but some of them are really, really bad. I should do some research. I'm going to look up the personality tests. I'm going to call it the personality insanity test. Anyway, Michelle, you got anything you want to talk about now that you're here on the show?
Let's see. I can't think of anything.
Some of you always wanted to ask a talk show host. You know, now's your chance. Here I am.
What was your favorite, or as growing up, what music do you recall listening to being around your parents? Yours might be different because you were in Canada and Australia, so it's probably not quite different listening to here in America.
That's a really good question. It was different for a couple of things. I came to rock and roll very late, almost college, because when I started, my folks listened to, I remember the fun stuff was like Herb Alpert and Tijuana Brass, so I wanted to be a trumpet player. They made me play piano, but neither of my parents were musicians, so they didn't know anything about music or how to learn. They said, well, you have to learn to play piano first. And I hated the piano. I said, why do I have to learn this? I want to play trumpet. So they eventually gave me a trumpet at 9 years old, and I played that for a year and totally sucked. I mean, I was terrible. And then that's when my Dutch band director, Mr. Beckendam, said, Pangos, you're going to play a tuba at the age of 10. And I loved it. And that was the instrument. So my exposure to music, a lot of it was my parents listened to classical. They listened to jazz stuff, Dixieland stuff. They listened to a lot of show tunes, a lot of Broadway music. So I kind of really got a good exposure to Broadway music and even Gilbert and Sullivan, because I was in a lot of musicals and I was in a couple of Gilbert and Sullivan productions. So I've always been involved in music and performance. So that's where I learned a lot of stuff. I played in orchestras, school orchestras, bands, concert bands, Dixieland bands, German bands, pit orchestras, pep bands, you know, marching bands, you name it. And so a lot of my exposure is everything but what I love now, which is, you know, hard rock, which is what I play guitar on. So it was very interesting. Australia got exposed to that. They just started having rock. And my school brought in a school rock band. The high school actually had a band. And they were incredibly loud and really horrible. They could play Smoke on the Water. That was about it. But that was okay. It was new. But the teachers who grew up with, you know, swing and stuff like that were saying, okay, well, this is new and different. The kids want to try it. Let's see. And so all through school, I was, like I say, I was exposed to all these other kinds of music because I was playing music so much. I wasn't really listening. And I didn't really – rock just seemed weird to me, which is unusual for high school. But by college, there's two songs I heard that totally changed my opinion of music. One was Greengrass and High Tides by the Outlaws. And the other was Sultans of Swing by Dire Straits. Once I heard those two, I thought, okay, I know what I'm going to do once I stop playing tuba. Because tuba after college, where do you go from a 300-piece marching band? You know, the local town band? Yeah, it's just boring. You know, unless I was going to be a Dixie. If I find a Dixieland band, I'll get a tuba again because I can still play it. Every once in a while, I go, like, rent one just to keep my hand in. About every 10 years, I rent a tuba. I can still play it. But that was my exposure. But once I heard those two songs on guitar, I thought, I want to do that. That's more fun than tuba. You've got chords, you know, you've got all these notes. You don't have to read music. That was what I loved about guitar playing is you don't have to read music. And so now I'm putting all these demos. So if you go to YouTube, everybody, my channel is Greg Pangos. I got like five channels right now. But the one that I use for music is just my own name, Greg Pangos. And I've been playing along to demos. I'm still looking for a band. I'm having a terrible time trying to find a band. Anyway, that's my musical story. What's yours?
I don't play any instruments. I tried, but I grew up, my parents were pretty young when they had me, so I grew up with disco, Earth, Wind & Fire, Lionel Richie, the Commodores, Eagles, mm-hmm. Fleetwood mm-hmm. Mac, Elton John, Billy Joel, all that sort of thing. And then when I got more into high school, it was, you know, Bon Jovi, Motley Crue, but Prince. I love Prince, Madonna, all that stuff. And then college, I got more into, like, more classic rock like Led Zeppelin and The Doors, but then The Cure and more alternative music. And then Nirvana hit the scene, and I love Nirvana, Smashing Pumpkins, all that bands that came through the college town from all over, from New York and California and Minneapolis and Austin. Like, who was the other one? Some of the not really country guys, but like Chris Dorte, like Stevie Ray Vaughan, that town, stuff like that. But yeah, a lot of different. And then I love the Pixies. I like more alternative stuff like that, too, kind of growing up. And then going later into the 90s, like Sublime and Blink-182 and Red Hot Chili Peppers and that sort of thing. So,
you know a lot of groups. No, this is really interesting. Yeah. I think Libras are more art, you know, headed. But you know what's interesting? When I talk about music, I talk about the types of music I played and the performances and the instruments. That was my musical experience. Your musical experience is all these different groups. And I bet you can pick events in your life and times in your life and, you know, whether it was junior high, high school, or college or working, and you know what groups were playing at that time. I'll bet you.
Definitely. I also remember, interesting. Like you've grown up. My childhood was awesome, but we watched American Bandstand on Saturday mornings, and I remember when Madonna made her first guest visit with Dick Clark. Nobody really had heard of her yet. Madonna came on and did Holiday on there, and Dick Clark, I think, said she's going to be big or whatever, and Cyndi Lauper was on there, and then we used to watch Friday Night Videos because we didn't quite have out where we lived yet, and then I loved MTV, but that's back, like they said, when they actually played videos, and I remember loving Van Halen with David Lee Roth and all their videos, and like your Dire Straits, that was like one of the MTV opener things with their cartoon M and all that was Dire Straits, and then Duran Duran, I loved Duran Duran, and some of the more theatrical stuff, like I loved The Killers and some of the bands like that too, but I loved MTV. I loved it. And that's kind of my influences. And then as I got into college, I got to go to concerts and do a lot more of that sort of thing and seeing live music. And I still love all that. I saw The Cure in Toronto, in Canada. That's where I saw The Cure, actually. And that was one of the best concerts I've been to. So, and one of the best books I've read is by Steven Tyler, not my favorite, but I grew up for sure with Aerosmith. But he wrote a book, autobiography, you know how quick-witted it is. Does the noise in my head make you want to scream? And that's a fun read. He's fun, but it's his life story where he grew up, and he grew up under his dad's piano. His dad was a piano tuner in New York, and they lived in an apartment. But then in the summers, they ran a camping resort in like the Poconos or somewhere up there in New York. But he had a real diverse childhood. There in the summers at the lake, or he was in New York City under his dad's piano, and then he was brought up playing classic piano and all that sort of thing. So, but his book's good. It's about how he met the guys in the band and the ups and downs and the girls and just everything, the drugs, it all.
The drugs, and, yeah, I was gonna say, yeah.
It's funny though. He's pretty quick-witted and stuff. So I like him even more now after reading his book. So, but that's kind of the influences I had and my life growing up with music. It's always been a big deal. And of course you associate songs you hear with certain times, like Jerry Rafferty, the Baker Street song, that takes me back to being a kid when we were boating and stuff. My mom and dad had a lot of 8-track tapes when that came out. The boat even had an 8-track tape deck in it. So
wow.
Listen to a lot of Fire and Pina Colada song, the Margaritaville, all that fun stuff. So yeah. But that's kind of how I associate music, too, with times of life, for sure. Yep.
That's interesting. Pina Colada song. That's one of the ones that came out when I got my first job at 16, and I was working at a flying school, you know, as airplane cleaner, washer, you know, odd job person, whatever they needed doing, I did. You know, we had a big storm. We had to move airplanes one day into a hangar across the field, and it was fun. I got to see George Gobel and Betty Ford arrive at the airport. And, you know, I was under an airplane. The Secret Service were kind of surprised. It's like, hi, guys, here I am. You can't be there. Okay, well, weren't you looking under the airplanes, you idiots? You know, I didn't say that, but this is what I'm thinking, right? You have a lot of music. I mean, this is really interesting. Because I, you know, as a non-musician, you obviously listen to a bunch of music and you can relate it. And a lot of people do this. I don't because I play so much. You know, it's different with me. To me, it's like a skill to be acquired, and it's beautiful. I love playing music, and then now especially because I can improvise. But that's for a lot of folks. Really, music really pegs the times in your life. It's quite fascinating. Pianki, what did you listen to growing up? Let's get your story. Get him unmuted here.
Well,
Pianki, what did you listen to?
I didn't listen to music.
No. What did you listen? Well, what did you listen to?
I didn't listen to music. I didn't care about the things that I guess some segments of the population enjoyed. But I wasn't into no rock music, no soul music, anything like that.
Huh? No blues, no gospel, no nothing. Broadway shows, anything classical?
No blues.
Okay.
Definitely
right.
No gospel.
Okay. Country?
Yeah. And I like hip-hop, rap music, Beastie Boys, but now I even like country music. And I never liked that before.
Oh,
I just started.
I even like country music.
Now I like country music. Go figure.
Yeah. Well, listen, I didn't play country music on my radio in California because it just didn't seem appropriate, you know, because it didn't fit. But here, when I'm driving around Florida, I play country music all the time. It's interesting. The location makes a difference.
Yeah. I'm country in general now that it's not. I don't listen to classic country, I guess, but I like kind of like Luke Combs and some of the new stuff. I saw him in concert at the Wharf a couple of summers ago, and it was a good show. So I'm diverse, so I like a little bit of everything, I guess. It's hard to pick a favorite. I have like sections.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I just had a thought.
Oh, no, go ahead. That's all I was going to say. I'm diverse. Okay. I like a little bit of everything.
Well, what I'm thinking is, do you keep up with current bands? Because you could do a music hour every once in a while on the show. That'd be fabulous. To report on the current bands, what they are, what they sound like, what's going on, concerts, things like that.
A little bit. I was doing better at it. Like, I like the last newer band I saw was Breaking Benjamin. I saw them when they were at here at the Civic Center like 2 years ago or a year ago. Maybe it was a year ago. I saw them. They were really good. And I'm going to go to a concert at Vinyl. I like to go to Vinyl once in a while. But
yep.
I listen to my Spotify Premium, and that's where it's bad because I like my favorite songs. So I have, like, sections of music, and I just kind of tend to put that on versus listening to the real radio for music. But I could. I mean, and I don't have SiriusXM really right now, Sirius or whatever. But I could keep up on it, but I'm kind of to where I just listen to my premium Spotify and listen to my playlist. So I wouldn't say I'm super current all the time.
No, just curious.
With all that.
Yeah. Marco sent me a website. I've copied it already. Normally I would just type that in, but excuse me. For some reason, it's not letting me type in anything today on live chat, which is weird. I don't know why. It's like, what's not going to work today? It's kind of funny. I'll tell Blog Talk. Live chat wasn't working. Well, this is interesting. Okay. Wow. I had no idea where the show is going to go today. Of course, I never really know for sure because I don't have a schedule. But this is quite fascinating. Let's probably take a break here for a couple of minutes. Michelle, do you want to stick around or you want to go laze around and go have fun?
I might need to head to the grocery store.
Okay,
well,
let's
okay.
do that. Well, thank you for calling the show. Don't be a stranger now that you know we're here and can call in.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And for having me on today and making my birthday special, and I hope you have an awesome birthday too.
Well, thank you. Now, the podcast will be done about 15 minutes after the show. So depending on if I go overtime, so between 10:15, 10:30, you'll be able to listen to yourself and share it with all your friends. Oh, boy.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I'll send
boy.
You the link. Hey, you did a great job. Okay. No, you're fabulous. No. Hang on, don't go away yet. I got one more thing to do. Let me see if I can find it here real quick. Here we go. Thank you, Michelle.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day. Have a great birthday. Don't forget
right.
the cake.
Oh,
okay.
Well,
bye-bye.
No, I don't do cakes right now, so I'll have to have a spiritual cake. Someone always sent me a picture of one.
What you call birthday in other countries in Africa, it's called Earth Day. It's the day you came to the earth. It was your mother who birthed. It was her birth. It was her day to birth.
Well, that's interesting. That's why you sent me a message earlier, you know, happy birthday. Was it happy Earth Day to you, birthday to your mother? That's fascinating. I didn't know that. Huh.
Me either. That Earth Day was just about the...
Go ahead, Michelle. You're still here.
Oh, I said I thought Earth Day was just about, you know, trees.
Well, in this country, Earth Day is, Lenin's birthday. You know, so they took Vladimir Ilyich Lenin, you know, the Russian Revolution dude before Stalin, and his birthday, April 22nd, they made that Earth Day because Earth Day really is a celebration of communism. It's the environmentalists that want communism as opposed to real environmentalists that just want the place cleaner. The real environmentalists realized that they were successful, that the cars are cleaner, the factories are cleaner, that everything is far cleaner than it was before. They've gone home. They're doing other things now. So they realize we won. You know, the whales got saved. All the things that they were trying for worked out well. But the communist environmentalists, they're still around. They're the ones pushing this bogus climate change nonsense. But really, it's just another word for communism. Go ahead, Bianchi.
Car battery. A car battery, when it's charged, it's in its unnatural state. When it's discharged, where it's not worth it, it's in its natural state. Now, if all societies was to stop today, within a period of time, everything would go back to the earth anyway. That's the market opening. Everything would go back to the earth anyway. All the skyscrapers, the cars, the planes, everything, the sun would deteriorate them and go back to dust. And that would be back at its natural state.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Yeah, no, it's just, this is why I love all these different perspectives and ways of looking at things, you know, so, but the environmental stuff is really crazy. And I talked to Gregory Wrightstone about this. It's like they won. They got what they, you know, they did a good thing. You know, the earth is cleaner. I remember flying into Los Angeles in 1970, you know, one of the first 747 flights from Hawaii, and it was terrible. I mean, it hurt your eyes. It was like flying into the dark. It looked like you're flying into a thunderstorm because there wasn't.
Wow.
It was just pollution. So, yeah. Well, go ahead.
Your streets, the weeds would grow back up through the streets. The streets would become forests again. The blacktop would deteriorate because, you know, it's the substance is made out of concrete. The older it gets, the weaker it gets. It crumbles back to sand and cement. Everything would go back dust to dust.
Well, that's that makes perfect sense. But it's also, was it the second law of thermodynamics? Everything proceeds towards disorder. Right?
Well, yeah, sort of, but not entirely.
Hmm.
I tell you, what was that movie that Will Smith made when things was all screwed up? The cities, the streets in the cities, New York was...
Man in Black?
iRobot? You mean iRobot, the one with Will Smith?
No, it was I Am or something. Him and his dog was running around, and some of the people was underground. They turned to zombies. They would come out. Everybody had to be back. That was left had to be back in the house and lock the doors. But in the daytime, they would go back into dark spots. But him going down the street in New York, trees was up through the pavement and so on and so on. But that's what would happen. The Statue
the movie
of Liberty would deteriorate. All those things would deteriorate and go back to the natural self.
The movie is I Am Legend. Thank you, Marco.
Okay.
And now back to our regularly scheduled programming. Michelle, you're still here.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go now. I thought I left, but I guess I didn't. So
no,
I'm
you have
to
hang up.
I
can hang you up, but I generally don't do that because I've had people say, I'll be gone in just a minute, and they stay for the whole 3 hours. I mean, I've had crazy things happen. So go have fun. Happy birthday.
Bye. Happy birthday.
All right. Goodbye now. Just you and me, Bianchi. Yeah. This is interesting. Well, let's take a break.
They say that we got our oceans and waters during the formation of the Earth. You had asteroids that carried a lot of water, H2O.
Yeah.
They hit the planet and went through the chemical process, and now we have our oceans and our rivers and streams.
Yeah. Well, I've got a couple of choices here. I've got I wanted to play a show when we originally wrote our first bill on the air because I didn't know if I'd have callers or not today. Turns out we had a great caller, Michelle. Like I say, I just found out recently we had the same birthday. I said, call the show. Let's find out. Let's see what we have in common here. So that was interesting. I got a couple more friends with birthdays today too. And this is the first year on Facebook I've actually done that. I never published it before. And today I only did it for friends and, of course, the folks that listen to the show. Especially once I found out my birthday and all my public all my information is public anyway. In Florida, they publish all your stuff because once you register to vote. It's really terrible. I mean, I'm hoping to get that law changed. But that's a dirty little secret, is that Florida doesn't care about your personal information. Your credit card company will keep it secret, but not the state of Florida. So after that point, I thought, everybody knows anyway. Might as well just have some fun with it. So I've got a few things we can. You want to take a break, get a cup of coffee for yourself,
you're afraid for the Attorney General threatened financial companies that if you don't lend money to illegals, we're going to sue you.
Let's talk about that. I've got an article on that too. But it's not Merrick Garland. I think it comes right from Brandon himself. I think that let me see if I can find that one. No, so I've got like these various. I got rid of some of the older articles. Most of the articles that I pick for the show don't actually ever get reported. Here we go. Found it. Here's what we're talking about. And this says, this is from an Daily Caller. Biden administration, which of course there is no such thing. It's the Brandon Obama insurrection, for those that are wondering. Daily Caller calls, this is from Will Kessler 4 days ago. Brandon insurrection, my words, threatens banks that refuse to lend money to illegal immigrants, which are actually illegal aliens. And says the Brandon Obama, coup released a statement Thursday warning financial institutions against using a person's immigration status in credit applications. Well, that's wrong too, because illegal aliens have no immigration status because they can't be here. They're not immigrants. Back to the article. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, well, that's a new one, the CFPB, and the Department of Justice, well, I know who they are, the DOJ, released a joint statement telling financial institutions that while it is not illegal to consider a person's immigration status, or I would say lack thereof, in the decision on whether to lend money, an over-reliance on it could run afoul of the law. So, Pianki, what the hell does that mean? It's not illegal, but if you do it, it still might be illegal. Is that BS or what?
It's probably out of the minds of whoever's in the background trying to run the country. That's ignorance. That's plain ignorance. Confusion.
Yeah, because they're saying, it's not illegal to do it, but we don't want you to do it anyway. That's BS. It's either legal or it's not. And who is the government to tell institutions who they can lend to? The whole point of lending is you lend money to people who can pay it back. That's what we got to do.
They're not. Just like he's not supposed to waive laws.
Well, but here's the problem I have. I know what Brandon's going to do. I know he's going to do what Obama tells him to do. And he's just going to sign things. So Obama said very clearly, I've got a pen and a phone. I don't need Congress. I'll just do it if they don't. All right. So we know how he operates. That's not my problem. I understand him. My problem is all the geldings, the gelding Republicans, and the lack of another party to stand up to these wacko Marxist deep state people and just tell them to stop, defund them, get rid of them, put them in jail, stop them from destroying the country, because we can't. We don't have the power right now. But the people that do have the power refuse to exercise it. They can't even elect a speaker. They can't even elect Jim Jordan. And I've already posted, if Jim Jordan's not the speaker, I'm once again getting rid of my Republican Party status. I only had it to vote in the election in 2020 anyway. But I don't need it. Or it was 2022. But I don't need it. I don't have to vote Republican in 2024. It'd be interesting if Trump became an independent. I think he should go independent now. Get rid of the Republican Party. So the election would really be between Robert Kennedy and Donald Trump, and the Republican and the Democrat candidates wouldn't matter. Wouldn't that be interesting? What do you think?
Well, there has to be some drastic changing to get back to normal. And the normality is how it came out in 1789. That's getting back to normal. Mm-hmm. Right now, things are completely bonkers, Greg.
Oh, I know. And I remember even when I got here in the 70s, things were starting to decline, and we had in the Carter administration, and we had the Nixon impeachment, things like that. But we need like Eisenhower's America. Eisenhower, one of the most underrated presidents ever, kept us out of war. Truman was Korea. So Eisenhower, I think, was like 54 to 60, if I remember.
Yeah, he was at some ceremony when he was talking about veterans, and he broke down crying.
Yeah, well, he was the commander in Europe. He's the one that basically ran D-Day.
He broke down crying.
Yeah.
He had empathy. Yes, he was something else, him and Patton. Isn't it something how you have all that together?
At that point in our country's history, both white guys too. How about that? But at that point in our history, the best and the brightest came forward. It wasn't a groupthink. It wasn't a, you know, we didn't have these ridiculous political pressures that they just, and in those days, the best and the brightest could come forward. They were pro, they were unabashedly, unashamedly pro-American. You know, even though the fact that Eisenhower had a German name, nobody accused him of being a Nazi, at least as far as I know. But I mean, you know, the fact that he was of German descent, as are a lot of Americans. I mean, I think Germans are the second largest ethnic group in the country by nationality, or largest national group after the British. So the British would be number one, German number two, and I guess other Europeans after that. And then we got Asian folks and everybody else that came here, African folks that came here. But the German population in the United States, you know, I mean, Pennsylvania Dutch, where, they came from Germany. I don't know how they got the name Pennsylvania Dutch, actually. It's kind of interesting. Maybe that was a reaction to World War One. But all this stuff is quite fascinating. You know, how it came about.
Well, yeah, it is.
But we were a better country. Yeah.
Yeah, you, think about, and I can't deny that. You had more morals, family.
Uh-huh.
A lot of that came out of strong families, which you don't have that today. The ideology that people utilize today is, you know, like they talk about basic income and where you don't have to 32-hour week. Some people say 24-hour week. You know who gave us the 48-hour day? That was Henry Ford.
Yeah. Yeah, and unions too. The unions fought for a shorter day because people were working 12-hour days, 7 days a week, and they were dying. They're dying at like 35. They're working themselves to death. You know, because companies didn't care. And this is the difference. You know, folks talk about slavery as the greatest evil on the planet, and slavery is a great evil on the planet. However, I think it's just as evil, if not more so, to take people and make them expendable and work them literally to death, starting from the young age of a child. And put them in factories and mills and bakeries and you know, all these horrible mines, these horrible places that people had to work. You know, and the conditions were appalling.
To say slavery is the greatest evil is a misnomer. Slavery's been around since man.
Yeah.
So that there's a bunch of hogwash. They only
I said
talk
it just
about
because,
one county.
Yeah. But I do that because of the political situation that people – that's the one thing everybody says, oh, this country's found slavery. We're a racist country, all this other nonsense. I'm like, you know what?
Yeah, you're
try,
right.
Try working in a steel mill at 12 years old,
mm-hmm.
you know, and get black – or go into a coal mine at like 14 and get lung cancer at, you know, 32. I got a dog barking across the street.
Well, the horses are working in the coal mine too, so they
– Yeah.
In the mules –
Yeah. But the thing was, a slave was an investment, was property, so you wanted to maintain your property. As disgusting as that sounds, human beings under early corporate labor laws were expendable because there's always another human being. They were replaceable. It didn't cost the company money other than the wage, the substandard wage, you know, to get the work done. And they made more money off that anyway. You know, so the wages were terrible. They're almost non-existent. The conditions were horrible. And in the company towns, as we talked about, you know, they didn't pay you in money. They paid you in script, which was redeemable at the store, and to pay rent. And they always overcharged, so people went into debt. So let's get back to our article, because this is pretty bad. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, this idea that Obama Brandon can tell banks that they can't, you know, question a person's citizenship. Now, as you know, we have a bill to correct that. We have our Citizenship Declaration Bill, which puts your citizenship right in your driver's license. And it prohibits anybody from making a loan if they're not a citizen or a permanent resident. You know, if you're like a visa person who's temporarily here, what do you want a loan for? You're not going to be here long enough. You know, and so there are ways around this, but this is why we're doing our legislation day. Because all the stuff that's being talked about, no one's ever offering a solution except us. We figured out how to deal with this. But it's like that banking thing all over again. You know, the Consumer Protection Homeowner Act or whatever that thing that Jimmy Carter signed, you know, that Bill Clinton advanced, where they were making loans just based on the fact that the banks had to make loans because it was the American dream. People had to have a house. Well, those people couldn't pay the loan back. And so then we got the savings and loan and then the banking and then the mortgage crisis. Anyway. Huh. Still there? I just want to make sure. Am I broadcasting to myself?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good. Just want to check. Got a little quiet there for a minute. All right, let's take a break now. And we've got a bunch of other issues that we can talk about. I think I'll forego my playing of a recording of an interview. I'll save that for another time because I'd rather talk to Bianchi. It's much more fun. All right, 8:44 is the time here. We're over halfway through our show. Take a break. I'll give you the contact information and be right back. So, Bianchi, grab a cup of coffee. Come on back, settle in. We've got a little over an hour, and we can settle many more problems. This will be quite interesting. So, yeah, I get to celebrate my birthday with you. This is kind of cool. All right, be right back. Here is your Action Radio contact and website information. The call-in line is 215-383-3832. Our show site is blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. Same link, live and a podcast. Please share all our shows. We have live chat at the bottom of the broadcast page available worldwide. Sign in to your free account and type away. We have an internet Skype line where you can call the show worldwide also. Please see the broadcast page for our Skype name. Call in during the show to get approved. Our bill writing site is writeyourlaws.com, WriteYourLaws, writeyourlaws.com. This is where anyone can write a bill and start the process of it becoming law. My paid and free subscription column is at gregpenglis.substack.com. Please consider a paid subscription of $5 per month or greater. For contributions to Action Radio, please go to givesendgo.com/actionradio. We have over 20 Action Radio Facebook groups. Use the Facebook search window by putting in Action Radio to find our groups. My public email is greg@writeyourlaws.com. Please contact me about advertising on Action Radio and helping our mission of freedom. Thank you for listening. Greg Penglis here for my book, The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction. Everyone at some point in their life wants to learn how to fly. Few try. Even fewer go on to get a license. I believe a major reason for that is how we teach people how to fly. My book is designed to help you navigate the flight training system, but it's so much more than that. It really describes an entirely new way to teach flying. So if you've never tried a lesson or got discouraged in your training and quit for any reason, this book can help you. Don't be a rote pilot who just follows procedures. Be a thinking pilot who makes great decisions, who understands all the reasons why we do what we do. You can incorporate these principles into your own flight training at any time. The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction is featured on the Action Radio with Greg Penglis Facebook page and is available from Amazon.com. This is Greg Penglis for Strike Force, your source for pure energy. Strike Force is a concentrated energy drink that turns a half liter of your favorite beverage into an energy drink. You make your energy drink yourself. Action Radio is an affiliate of Strike Force, so our listeners get a 20% discount. All you do is add our code, WYL, to the discount code window at checkout. WYL comes from our website, Write Your Laws. So, you can get your energy drink, a 20% discount, and help Action Radio change the relationship of we the people to our government. Not bad. Strike Force is at StrikeForceEnergy.com. That's StrikeForceEnergy.com. Start your engines. Do you know your way around healthcare, insurance, pharmacies, surgery, alternative treatments and choices? I don't. Which is why I'm so glad I met Priscilla Romans, had her on Action Radio, and learned about health patient advocacy. She is the founder of Great Care. And now as an affiliate of Great Care, we are proud to offer through our discount code, WYL, which stands for Write Your Laws, a 10% discount. Great Care saves you both time and money. They provide medical advocacy, consultation, advice, and recommendations nationwide. Their website is gracecare.com. That's GRAITH care.com. You can email them at gracecare.adm@gmail.com or call them at 469-864-7149. That's 469-864-7149. Grace Care, better health through better knowledge and advocacy. Action Radio, part of the ADHD Radio Network, the ultimate free speech zone. We the people give our consent to be governed through writing the laws by which we are governed, and have the power through juries to nullify the laws by which we do not consent to be governed. At Action Radio, we don't report the news. We are the news. Every other show reports what has happened. We talk about what can happen. From the questions no one has thought to ask, to the answers no one has thought to consider, to the actions no one has dared to take. That is Action Radio. All right, so I had Bianchi muted just because we had some background noise, so I just had to take you out there for a little bit. So I think I recognize this number. I'm not even going to look it up. I'm just going to guess. But I'm pretty sure this is Wendy, our Oh My God reporter. Hello, Wendy.
Good morning.
And
happy birthday.
Happy
are you going to sing?
Birthday
Wait. We have Mike in joining in today. He wanted to join in with the happy birthday wishes.
Oh, well, thanks, Mike. I really appreciate that. No, but you have to sing When I'm 64. So that was my request for today.
That.
You can't. I got the words right here.
No.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me?
Hey,
when I'm 64. Okay, fine. What was that, Mike?
All right. You sang it. Wow. So now I'm covered for my next birthday.
There you go. Well, you can sing too. I'll
Even
sing to you
I'll
next
only
year.
Be 39.
39? Okay, good. Much more fun.
Well, but everybody else has done the When I'm 64 today. So can we just do our version of happy birthday for you?
Yes, please. Go ahead. I'm listening with intent. I was going to say bated breath, but that doesn't make sense. Listening intently, please. Go ahead.
And if it'll help you out, then we'll do a little bit of Yellow Submarine.
That worked. Okay, that's good. I wasn't planning on that, but hey, why not? Go for it.
Okay. Are we ready?
I guess. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday
to you.
Happy birthday, dear Gray. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, that was fabulous. Harmony and everything.
I know.
The audience likes it, too.
We did.
Yeah, the audience loves you guys. That's great.
Well, we're so glad that you're having a good birthday.
I'm having a fabulous time. You know, where else? I mean, there's no place I'd rather be than right here, you know, on the air with you guys. Like I say, Bianchi's on the line, too.
And in the words of your fellow countrymen.
Yes.
The words of your fellow countrymen, mate, get stuffed.
No, funny. No.
That's what they say.
He's from Canada.
No, he's from Australia.
He lived in Australia, but he's from Canada.
Yeah, well, get the story straight, guys.
Okay.
So same thing. Yeah,
we're trying.
We just defended two nations, Canada and Australia.
You've been everywhere, Greg.
No, not everywhere. I want to broadcast from Tokyo. I want to do an Asian show. I mean, there's a lot of places I want to go. I want to go to South America. I want to go to Africa. Those are the places I haven't been. So, yeah,
cool.
There's some places to go. I've seen Europe a few times. It's been great. But there's parts of the world I have not been to. But I want to, you know, as the show gets going here, once we get our big break, I want to, you know, take a tour. We've got Shelby, as I think Bianchi mentioned earlier, that we need to start doing some trips. And I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to do it. You know, first one's Belize. We're all going down to Belize for a week. No, I'm serious.
Well, we might
need more than my airplane. Although I post a couple of things on a site from a person you know with her favorite car, Then we had your favorite car.
Right.
Then we had my favorite car. And then I had two airplanes, and nobody's looked at the airplane videos or reacted to it. That's kind of fascinating. I guess you guys are in car world. But no, remember Alan Dawson? Were you ever on the show when Alan was on? Bianchi was on. He was always asking him what was on the lunch menu. That was hysterical. But Alan Dawson's well, you know how it goes. Alan Dawson's my tour guide friend who's in Belize. And I met him on two tours when I was actually working with Shelby on cruise ships. So I did a couple of week adventures with her. That's how we met. And so I got to know Alan Dawson, and we became friends and communicated ever since. And so he's been on the show a few times. He was on when COVID was going on because he couldn't work. He's another tour guide, right? We're everywhere. And so I said, well, Alan, do you think you could put something together for us for Action Radio for a week? He's like, yeah, come on down. So we're all going to go down to Belize one day.
All right.
Yeah. I got plans. But we just got to break through the censorship.
There you go.
So my plans have been delayed unnaturally. Otherwise, we'd be world famous by now. You know, I'm convinced of it. But under normal circumstances. Well, you know, we got our citizen legislation day. That's going to be a big deal, too.
It is going to be a big deal. And all in God's timing, it'll all work out.
Yeah, well, God's time, God doesn't give me the schedule ahead of time. That's one of the problems.
Yeah, you're not alone in that.
Yeah. I see things in God's time. Yeah, he doesn't give me the pieces. He makes me work all these weird jobs that have no connection until I get to be, you know, 64, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's why you did it. Okay, thanks. Now I understand. Could have explained it earlier, but no.
Okay. Well, I hope that you have a great rest of your birthday. I hope that you get all kinds of wonderful little love notes from God throughout your day, and that you will just feel special.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Yes, God. Yes, we are talking about you. Yes, I know it's your schedule. I'm sorry. I don't know why I was questioning. I don't know what I was thinking. Okay, just stay tuned for coming adventures. Got it. Thanks, God. Appreciate the help. For those that don't know, this is the only show that God calls directly. But as Marco says, his ringer is from the 80s. But, you know, God can choose his own ringer. I don't really... You know, that's how it goes.
That's right. I
had to share that.
Well, bless your day. I just think this is a good start to it, and I really do hope you get to enjoy the rest of it.
Oh, well, I'm enjoying it now, but I enjoy all my days. I mean, I've got guitar playing to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll probably do something silly for myself. You know, I'll figure something out. This town is full of such wonderful things, and they're all walkable, which is really great. So, you know, maybe I'll try the latest craft beer at our local watering hole, which we have a few of. I'm trying to get a beer show, by the way. I want a beer and wine, like, hour, like once a month. We're going to work on that, too. All right, guys. Thank you. Have fun. Take care.
Okay.
Yeah. Appreciate
okay,
it.
Well, see you soon.
Thanks, Mike. Great voice, by the way. You should record him. Make some videos. You know, get they're gone. But we need to get that voice recorded somehow, some way. Bianchi, what do you think? This is kind of fun today. Again, not what I expected.
Yeah, all kinds of great expectations.
Yeah. So we have a change in plans. I just heard from CJ. I didn't have her scheduled officially today, but she was nice enough to let me know ahead of time. Hey, I'm calling in. It's like, okay, great. So things have been, like I say, are a little bit scattered today. So let's play her theme, bring her on, and we're going to talk health a little bit. What is health? What does it take to stay healthy? We have a longer lifespan than 100 years ago, but is the quality of life any better? 100 years ago, their food was better. They got more exercise. They weren't as fat. They didn't have preservatives, antidepressants, sugar in everything, and they didn't have vaccines. If you talk about alternative health care, people think of crystals, incense, strange candles, Ouija boards, notions, potions, lotions, and total hippies telling you to detox, man. So let's change our system of sick care into wellness. Let's get healthy. Let's lower our stress, stop taking in poisons, eat and drink organic, clean food, and let's have a chat with CJ, because this is CJ's Wellness Watch on Action Radio. Hey, gorgeous. Missed you while you were traveling. So glad to have you back. How you doing?
Hi. I forgot to send you an updated picture the other day. I'll have to send it to you since we only talk to each other via radio and I'm not on much social media other than Instagram. So I'll send that to you.
But, okay, that sounds good. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it's nice to be back, and I apologize for the miscommunication. Yes, I think I did have marked off today because we've got birthday stuff, but I'm back in town. Let me text you. So I wasn't sure because I've been traveling so much. So if I messed you up, I completely apologize.
Oh, no, you didn't mess me up at all. No, this is – in fact, I'm glad you texted when you did because the way it worked out was kind of crazy. We had Michelle from here, who's a friend of mine, who has the same birthday I do, which is today. So I was curious to talk to somebody, you know, with a shared birthday. What's that? Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. You can sing. But you have to sing When I'm 64. This is the only year you sing it. Oh.
Birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Greg. Happy birthday to you.
Aw. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah, but I'm asking people. In fact, Bill Fecky actually did it this morning, first thing when I first came on the show. I said, if you want to sing today, you got to sing When I'm 64, and this is the only year you can do it. So you got to drag out your Beatles lyrics. Will you still feed me? Will you still need me when I'm 64? Boom, boom. Anyway, I'll sing it. So yeah. So the world looks pretty good at 64. I'm feeling fabulous. No prescription drugs, you know, I exercise, you know, getting the weight down. I've got a huge future ahead with Action Radio. I know the boss, so they're not going to fire me. So life's good.
That's awesome. I'm so glad to hear that. But, yeah, I've been doing a bit of traveling, finally back, kind of, sort of, in the homestead. And I'm not going to be traveling again until probably sometime in December. My family is all up in Pennsylvania, so at some point I will see them, and then possibly the beginning of the year doing some traveling to Alabama and Florida, which I'm looking forward to. So,
well, don't forget a legislative day, Citizen Legislation Day, January 7th.
That's right. I have it marked.
Yeah, good. So we're starting to talk about that now with the contract signed, you know, on our way, everything's official, so life is good. So we're going to be having – I'll talk about this more another time because I think CJ's time is a little bit limited today. But, yeah, it's going to be great. I want to mention one thing because you said Pennsylvania. Marco texted us in earlier from the Netherlands. We were talking about Pennsylvania Dutch, and I thought, well, they're mostly German. How does that happen? So he says, in the 18th and 19th century English, the word Dutch was used to refer to the broad Germanic region encompassing modern-day Netherlands, Germany, Belgium, Austria, and Switzerland, and so could quite appropriately refer to those settlers in Pennsylvania. Yeah, they call them Pennsylvania Dutch, but they are mostly German, like from the Amish and a bunch of the Mennonites and some other folks that settled. So what's your family? What's your family background in Pennsylvania? And do you trace it back to Germany?
Exactly that. I grew up in the Amish country, in the country. I'm Pennsylvania Dutch. My father was German. My mother was Italian. Need I say more? They divorced when I was in high school.
Yeah, that happens.
So,
A little clash of cultures there.
But yes, I love Amish country and the horse and buggies and all the farmland. And I grew up in that neck of the woods and absolutely loved it.
Yeah, I went through there once. My folks took a motorhome trip, which greatly hastened their divorce. That's a great test for married people, by the way. If you want to know if your marriage is going to survive, take a motorhome trip because you're in an enclosed space. You know, you're traveling, which is stressful. All they did was argue. And I thought, you know, I'm thinking to myself, I can't wait for these people to get divorced. It's going to be so much more peaceful. One of them by themselves I can handle, but both of them at the same time, no, that was just too much. And I was like, you know, 14 at the time. It was like, no, this is not working out, folks. So, so that's exactly what happened. But, yeah, it was high school. They split up. But, yeah, but I love the country. And they had this – I remember in Pennsylvania, they had – in the Amish country, there was this incredible bacon vinaigrette salad thing that I've never had since. It was like the world's greatest salad dressing. Do you know what I'm talking about?
It was so good.
So you had the same one? Isn't that funny?
Yeah, and I think it was made – I think we talked about this a little bit quite some time ago, if my memory serves me correctly. It was like a bacon vinaigrette dandelion dressing.
Dandelion. I don't remember dandelion, but I remember it was sweet, and it was bacon-y.
Yes.
It was like the best dressing I've ever had. But they only get it – you only get it in the Amish country. You can't find it anywhere else because they're the only people that make it.
I think I might – somebody in my family, or I might even have it, because I got – even though I don't cook a lot, really, I got my grandmother's old recipes, like from rhubarb pie and, like, all the stuff. And, like, if I don't eat sweets. I don't eat cakes, sugars, candies, anything like that. However, I say the however. Mm-hmm. The only, like, sweet growing up that I would eat was rhubarb pie because I love rhubarb. And if I could make a healthier rhubarb without all that sugar or even have it once a year, I have the recipe. And it's so good. But, yes, I know what you're talking about, that it had kind of like a white film to it, right, the dressing?
It was cloudy. I don't remember being white, but I remember being cloudy. Yeah. And then you got it in a mason jar.
Yeah.
They sold it. They sold it, and we bought like a case, but you know, but you couldn't. Well, maybe they ship now. I'll have to look. I'll see if it's online. Otherwise, I'll bribe your family with PayPal. You know, things. Like, hey, can you guys ship me some Amish bacon vinaigrette dressing? That'd be great.
I'm going to ask my mother. My family might be coming to see me sometime for the holidays here, and then I'm going up to Pennsylvania. So if I can
bring me a case.
Amish I will
gladly pay you Tuesday.
Yeah.
That'd be fabulous.
It's good. But, you know, when I was away, and you know, please, I don't remember what we talked about the last time that I was on. So if I happen to repeat myself, say, oh, yeah, we talked about that.
Don't worry about it.
That.
We have new listeners anyway, so it doesn't matter. Yeah, besides, I've already forgotten, so.
And I'm going to pull up the exact information, actually, while we're talking, but. Mm-hmm. If you go onto my Rumble channel, and this was like last week when I was at the
Which
meet.
Is?
So
let's get your Rumble channel.
Mm-hmm.
What's your Rumble channel so people know?
Yep, the Angel Warrior Network. The Angel Warrior, and run all the words together, the Angel Warrior Network. In fact, you're going to be coming on our show here shortly.
I was going to talk about that off the air, but we can talk on the air. Yeah, I've got it scheduled for next week.
Yep, we'll be doing Constitution stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes.
So that'll be good.
I'll have to read about that. Marco said his windows just broke from a sonic boom. Oh, no. Pianki said sonic boom. Marco just in the Netherlands says his windows just broke. Marco, are you near a NATO base? I guess they're probably doing a lot more flying these days because of Israel and Ukraine. Just curious. I don't remember the base there, but anyway. So, yeah. So that's the news from the Netherlands. We have instant European contact here. It's really kind of cool. Anyway, back to you. Yeah.
That's okay.
And now back to our regular scheduled program.
I had put up the latest. Have you seen the latest interview with Dr. Artis?
No, but I know Dr. Artis. He's a friend of mine. So what's the latest?
Yes, mine too. And I'm going to pull it up. So if you go to my Rumble channel, I actually record three parts, part one, part two, and part three. And I can hit some highlights in there so that people know. A lot of the information that he talked about, a lot of details, I was not aware of. And it all made sense. We had talked about, you know, with viruses. I'm not talking about the jab or COVID, but all the things, okay, that for the past 4 years, what's been discovered, as we all know, is the power of nicotine, right? The power of nicotine, the power of glutathione, the power of the correct type of glutathione, the correct type of vitamin C, D mixed with K. And again, I've watched this like three times. It's like 2.5 hours long, so I divided it up into parts. And
wow.
I know it almost like the back of my hand. I mean, and I'm going to go through. It's almost like sitting in, you know, a conference class where you want to go through and take notes. But I'm going to scroll a lot because I get very excited talking about this.
Then, you're on the right show. we always go all over the place. Yeah, it's normal for around here. Yeah.
So I did not know one of the pieces of information that I did not know was that on all of our cell receptors, right? We've talked about telomeres. That's a whole different thing. But in and on our cells, we have nicotine receptors. I did not know that.
I think I've heard that before, but I'm not sure. It sounds vaguely familiar, though, but yeah. Because Josie's talked about nicotine, and I've heard something from – I might have even seen this video. I don't know. But I remember hearing that – I think Brian Artis, when he was on the show about 5 or 6 months ago, talked about this. He talked about snake venom, and
correct,
he talked about nicotine.
Correct.
Yeah, okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
But he digs deeper into it. Like, there's been more found out about the nicotine, is what I'm saying. Because I remember when I interviewed him, and he was saying one of the potential solutions or one of the helpful remedies, I don't want to say solutions that can help, whether you got the jab, didn't get the jab, had the virus, spike protein, what all the things, right? Because of the because of the venom from the snake that's been proven, he goes into that a lot. Is that nicotine can't bind or does bind, whatever. Like the nicotine will pull out the snake venom. So he says he and his wife, he wears, I think, 3 milligrams every day. And you cannot get addicted to nicotine. And we've been brainwashed to think that nicotine is addictive and causes cancer and all that. It is not that. It's the other things. And there was a word that starts with a P. I can't remember what it is. Like I said, I got to go back and write it down.
Phenolphthalein? That comes to mind. I don't know why.
Yeah, something like that. That they put into cigarettes and cigars and tobacco. So it's all the other things that they add to these products, the chemicals, all the things that make it addictive and make it there. But nicotine by itself and alone, that's why you can't get addicted to the nicotine patches. The nicotine is not going to hurt you, because that was one of my questions initially half a year ago. I'm like, well, why do I want to put that in my body? Why do I want to do this? Am I going to get lung cancer? Am I going to get this? And he didn't really have an answer at that point in time, because, again, the knowledge and the research has evolved. And so this podcast was so amazingly detailed. I really encourage people to watch it. Yes, it's long, but it's one of those things that if you start listening to it and you listen to it again and again, each time you're going to pick up something different. And I was so addicted to listening to it. Like I said, I listened to it 3 times in a row, and my daughter listened to it.
Our show's that way, by the way. The more you listen, the more you pick up, because we talk so fast and cover so much that it's critical to listen often, early and often. Keep that in mind, folks.
But one of the other things in regards to nutrition, again, that I wasn't sure of, he's like, believe it or not, and this, I did not know this. Okay, I did not know this, that there is, God's given us everything that we need in nature, herbs, et cetera, to heal our bodies, right? You just have to be knowledgeable or go to the resources that know this. But what I did not know is that there are athletes that have nicotine in them.
That was a question I was wondering, because glutathione is in all the stuff I eat, salmon, avocados, walnuts, you know, that's also good brain food. It also grows hair. You know, these foods are like superfoods, strawberries, blueberries, you know, these things have glutathione in them, eggs, things like that. But what foods have nicotine?
Okay, well, let me get there. No, you're right. But going back to my original statement, and he makes it really clear. I mean, the point of his podcast was not this, but he mentioned it. Like, it's the type of glutathione. It's the type of nicotine. In other words, you cannot get all that you need from nature. Nature has provided it, but because everything has been tainted and the soil of where things grow that we know are good for us, right?
Right.
It's that whole liposomal. It's the whole bioavailability. How much is your body absorbing? You know, so you have a ton of factors that go into that. But. What he is saying, the point that he made, which I thought was phenomenal, again, that I did not know, is that there are certain foods that God has given us that have nicotine in it. So if nicotine is so addictive, then why aren't people addicted to the foods that have nicotine in it? Instead of craving a donut or craving potato chips or craving a Reese's peanut butter cup or a Starbucks coffee or whatever, why aren't people addicted and craving the foods that have natural nicotine in them? Great.
It's a good
point,
question.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I think cocoa is more addictive. That's why we eat chocolate. That's probably more addictive than nicotine.
Right. But that point was being is that nicotine is not bad for you. Nicotine has a lot of healing properties for the body. Again, I did not know this other than 6 months ago, you know, putting a nicotine patch on myself, which I told you, I think really, 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 really helped me. And I just, after that podcast, I bought more nicotine patches. You know, and I've got a seminar and some speaking I'm doing at a wellness conference tonight and things like that. So if I'm outside my home, I will cut a 7 milligram nicotine patch, and I'll put, you know, 3 milligrams on my arm when I go out, in addition to glutathione and all the other things that I use. But I will do that. And it's supposed to help protect from some shedding, from receiving a virus, because it can't stick to nicotine.
So let's talk about shedding. So people understand and put it in context. What's being shed and who's shedding it?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I have convoluted answers to that because, again, you know, I'm not a scientist, but...
Oh, I know the answer. That was a rhetorical question. I know exactly what it's from people who got the COVID shot.
Yeah.
You're protecting
yourself
against...
Well, yeah, I know. That's
what I was going to say. But we got to say correct. That just so that all our folks around the world, you know...
correct.
You know, make sure that everybody's on board with that. Yeah. It's my fault, too. I assume things that I say to people, what's that? And I say, oh, yeah, you're right. I got to explain it. So just... I always like to cover
but
those things.
But here's the question,
too. Go ahead.
Scroll in a little bit. I want to come back to the nicotine subject with the foods.
Mm-hmm.
But
I do too.
Unless I've missed something, and maybe you have this answer, but from all the people I've talked to, I don't know, and I've gotten mixed answers. How long does shedding last? I personally, from a layman's perspective and the knowledge that I have, I don't think shedding lasts forever. You know,
no, it
I
doesn't.
Think
no,
it
diminishes. Yeah. Judy Mikovits told us that. I don't remember the time.
Yeah.
6 months maybe. After 6 months after a jab, your shedding is dramatically reduced.
Right, right. So anyway, so let's circle back here.
Okay.
But from what I think I gathered from part of that podcast is wearing a nicotine patch can actually help protect you from viruses. Because if you look up the Latin word virus, virus is poison and venom. Because doctors and pharmaceuticals, right, all of the drugs, everything is based on Latin in the medical community. So if you look up the word virus and see the meaning of it, you will be shocked. Hence, the point of wearing a nicotine patch prophylactically, there's no harm to it. And you're not going to, this is just new, you know, that, well, I'm not detoxing from cigarettes. I'm not, you know, I'm wearing a nicotine patch prophylactically to help prevent the odds of me getting a virus of any sort. Is it bulletproof? Probably not. But it's like one of those things, right? Cover your mouth when you sneeze.
Well, we still have an immune system. You know, we can still wash our hands. I mean, there's little things you can do. But this is fascinating. So Marco has a comment here. He says that cocaine is in the coca leaves. While cocaine is addictive, the leaves are not known to be. Has something to do with the concentration. Yeah, I think the leaves are a different form, but people chew coca leaves, you know, with cocaine in them, and they get that little buzz, that little slight buzz. They'll chew coca leaves all day, but the concentration is huge. That's the big difference.
Right.
But now I think isn't nicotine chemically related to caffeine? Aren't they a similar family? And caffeine actually has some good qualities too, from what I've heard.
So here's the thing. Let me hold that question because
okay.
I
ahead.
Want to focus
right.
on what I was
yep.
saying.
Back to you.
So
sorry.
The nicotine, I want to answer that question though, because that's a great question, but remind me here. So the nicotine is found in a group of shades, and I'm sure many people have heard of nightshade vegetables or fruit. And I can name a couple of them. You know, you can go to DuckDuckGo, you can go to wherever, print a list out of them. Right, and it's like eggplant. There's actually cauliflower, zucchini, celery, and the list goes on and on. So one of the questions he posed. Now, again, as a vegetarian, almost vegan, I eat a lot of that stuff. But again, depending on your health condition, like I said, with me, with the kidney condition that I was born with, I can't have certain oxalates. So I have to be careful how much quantity.
Yeah,
I
spinach,
eat
grapefruit juice, and oxalate's a whole category
sucks.
We should talk about too. Yeah, exactly.
Right, but I mean, it really sucks because I like a lot of that stuff that's good for you, and that makes up a lot of my diet. So, but anyway, but these vegetables and fruits that are nightshades. His point was, okay, so why aren't people craving celery? If nicotine is addictive, why aren't people craving? Hey, I need to go eat some cucumbers. I need to go eat some zucchini. Or now I do crave cauliflower. I love cauliflower. Raw, regular, whatever. But most
tastes
people
bland to me.
Don't crave.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't crave eggplant. They don't crave celery juice. Granted, what I said, there's not necessarily the quantity and amount. I mean, you would have to eat copious amounts of nightshade fruits and vegetables to get a large dose of nicotine, right? But the point is, just like we said, because the soil and everything's been depleted, but the point is debunking the fact that nicotine is addictive. It's all the other junk that they have added to it. And going back to the fact that God has given us all the things on the earth that we need. However, that being said, we need to find the correct wholesome supplementation that has these whole foods in them in a larger, more bioavailable form so that they can do in our body what they are supposed to do. Because, again, you can't go eat six heads of cauliflower,
right.
You know. So that's where supplementation and stuff like that comes. Supplementation, it goes back to you really have to know what's in the supplementation, and it has to be organic food-based supplementation. If not, you're just pooping and peeing everything out, and you might as well just save your money and go buy Starbucks. I mean, that's just the reality of it.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Seriously, I mean, that's just the reality of it. So, but I was not aware that we have nicotine receptors on every single cell in our body and that nicotine can be found in a lot of foods. So why isn't nicotine addictive?
Well, the answer, yeah, like you say, it's not, you know, but we also have
exactly.
Every blood vessel has a carbon monoxide affinity greater than oxygen, and that'll kill you.
Right.
So why is right. that in our system? That seems counterintuitive, evolutionarily and otherwise. But yet there it is.
Correct.
You know, so yeah.
I agree.
Huh.
So I would highly recommend, and I'm actually going to play this on my show as well. I got to go back and make sure this is correct. And I'm going to get this wrong. Any of your listeners, don't quote me on this. But when he was talking about snake venom and all the movies that are out there or that have been released in the past, all the different things that are, they're actually showing you in your face what evil is doing to us before it happens. I think.
How about that?
Now, I've never watched this show. Maybe you have. The Blacklist TV show, I guess. And he showed several clips of it. I'm going to go back and watch it. I'm really cringing at watching it because he showed a scene or two from it's Blacklist. I think it's season 4, episode 15. Don't quote me, but I'm pretty
that's
sure.
Specific.
I'm going to go.
is it people who are being killed or something, or what, they're on the list and they all die or something?
No,
what is the Blacklist?
The scene that he showed had to do with an injection of venom, something about what it was doing and how it did it and how it killed somebody and what they were. Anyway, he was, I can't remember, but he was making a statement and talking about venom and snakes, and he said, isn't it amazing that if you go back to the Blacklist season 4, episode 15, how it is showing you exactly what they are doing? And his point was, like, he actually said it, holy blump, that it's showing you exactly what they are doing. And he's like, if you haven't seen this, you need to go back and watch it. Now, again,
oh, no,
I have not.
There's so many like this. V for Vendetta talked about a tyrannical society that arose around a manufactured
absolutely.
Virus. Gee, what a surprise.
Yep.
The Hunger Games,
yep.
You know, rationing food and controlling people and controlling groups and setting people against each other.
Yeah.
You look at any of those things. Soylent Green, you know,
yeah.
What they do with overpopulation, they created synthetic meat. You know, I won't give you away the plot, but yeah. So these films have always done that.
I'm going to do like a 15-minute podcast and explain this on my channel. And then this weekend, I think if I want to make sure this episode is correct, and I'm going to air the episode on my channel, you know, and verbally tie it back to, if you've watched the Dr. Artist interview, this is the episode he was referring to. Please watch it. You know what I mean? So, again, I highly recommend watching that 2.5-hour show from Dr. Artis, and you can find it on the Angel Warrior Network on Rumble. Make sure you run all the words, you know, together. I divided it up into part 1, part 2, and part 3 since it's 2.5 hours. But, you know, the power of what God has given us and stuff is amazing. And the sad portion of it is that, again, even though he's provided it for us in this earth and from plants and stuff, it's unfortunate that the pollution, the altering of our soil and all those things has kind of helped to destroy a lot of the properties that these things in nature has, hence the importance and the reasoning for correct supplementation. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is.
Well, another problem too is the genetic modifications. They change things around. They screw around with the natural properties. You know, all the regular, you know, foods out there that just grow naturally and evolve, crossbreeding stuff like that. All the apple varieties, for example. There's reasons to eat natural food. That's the best chemical combination for your body. You know, you start screwing around with things to make it more factory friendly, and you lose it. I got a couple comments from Mark I want to get to before we get too far here, because I'm not on live chat, so I can't respond to these. I have to do it directly on the show. Talks about the usual tomato contains about 7.1, and he's got some ratio grams of nicotine. So tomatoes are a good source of nicotine, it looks like.
Yep, tomatoes one of a nightshade vegetable, yep.
Okay, he says cauliflower, even though cauliflower, he says, is not a nightshade, which is interesting. Plant family, they still contain nicotine. He says you'd eat over 10 kilograms, that would be about 22 pounds, of aubergine, I'm not sure what that is, to be consuming the same amount of nicotine as a single cigarette. So here's a question. Let's just follow up on Marco's thing. So cigarettes, everybody knows they have nicotine in them. So the difference in absorption between the smoke from a cigarette in your lungs and the foods, how is the absorption rate of nicotine? Which one's stronger?
Oh, from foods versus the nicotine cigarette? Oh, cigarette, obviously.
So smoke in your lungs is going to be absorbed faster than food in your stomach?
Yeah.
How come?
Yeah. Well, it goes back to the whole digestive process.
Okay.
Again, and it's just what I said before, that everything has been altered because of our soil, our air, our water. Even though you're growing these foods, and I encourage people to eat fresh foods, right, and take your chances on the soil and the rain and all that, right, versus food in a box. But still, those are factors that they don't have the same, I would say, potency or effect as they should for what they did, you know, 50 years ago. So absolutely, when you're breathing in smoke and you're breathing in all those chemicals that have been added to the thing, that's going right directly to your lungs. And, all those organs, a lot of those organs act like sponges and soak them up. Whereas the digestive process, I don't care if you eat a steak or celery or a piece of cake or whatever, you have a whole digestive process that your gut goes through to process food. And most of our digestive systems are so messed up, they don't even digest right, number one. Again, going back to the poor quality of that tomato that you're eating, you know, of the soil it's been in, the water, blah, blah, blah. And then you only absorb the absorption rate of what you consume. If you eat a salad every single day, that's awesome. But you're only absorbing maybe 10% of that salad and anything that's on it. The rest is getting rid of in your urine and your poop. I mean, that's just the fact. It does not get absorbed into the body. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So your body can't utilize what you're putting in your mouth. What you're putting in your mouth is not what your body is using to either help heal itself or to harm itself. It works both ways. That's why.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, Marco's got a comment here, too. He says that the lung is one giant surface mass. You know, it takes up nicotine much faster. That makes sense, but that's why I asked the question. You know, he says if you want your mind blown about certain substances in the human brain and human body, he says look into cannabinoid receptors or DMT in the brain. So that's one of your
–
so tell me.
Yeah. I want to go back to the other question that you asked. So when you're talking about, you know, your nicotine and your food, the going back to the answer is definitely the cigarette in your lungs. It's almost like, I'll give you an example. So my daughter's birthday was yesterday, and you know, we don't do fast food, we don't do anything, and it was like one time a year, right? So yesterday she wanted to go to, here in the Carolinas, you can go to different places and they give you all this free stuff for your birthday. So like Starbucks and Chick-fil-A and Sephora for makeup and funk cake. Like all these places will give you free stuff. Well, number one, they're all run by the cabal. Number two, they're all shit. And so it's like, I was like, okay, once a year, whatever. You know, so the point is if you only eat that stuff once a year, it's not going to kill your body. But if you keep doing that time after time after time, it's the compounding effect. So even when you're consuming nightshade vegetables for the purpose of nicotine, right, now that you know this, or you're just eating what you would consider to be a clean diet, your body's still not absorbing everything you're putting into your mouth. So if it's only absorbing 20%, you have to have a lifestyle of doing it time after time after time after time on a regular basis to get the amount of correct nutrients that your body needs to either heal itself or harm itself. So it's not what you do once or twice a year. It's what you do on a consistent basis, because you're not getting the amount that you need. Does that make sense?
Well, it does, and I've always wondered about the digestion, which has hydrochloric acid. For anybody that has acid reflux or have you know, gotten stuff, you know, back up, that's really strong. That's a really strong chemical. So how do the nutrients survive that as your food's digested, you know, as it goes through your stomach with the acid that it has in it? Are the nutrients just strong enough to survive and they get absorbed, you know, down in your small intestine, large intestine kind of thing, as opposed to, which makes sense, that the smoke going directly to your lungs is going to be absorbed far faster because the surface area is massive compared to your stomach. Right. And it takes time to go through your intestines, but stuff in your lungs is going to absorb, you know, instantly. So how does food survive the acid? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question. In fact, it's interesting that you say that. I could send you a picture right now. I have in my hand almost every day, and I've slacked while I've been traveling, but I have a big thing of clean and pure HCI, which is hydrochloric acid, right?
Right.
And
HCl,
I
think.
I
think it's HCl.
Yeah. Okay. HCl. I take it every single day, a certain amount of it, because of my history in the past of Crohn's and colitis and IBS and all that stuff.
Oh,
that
my goodness.
I had.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah. I've had that, I don't have it now, but because of my history of 15 years ago, you know, when I used to be on all these drugs, it was maybe 20 years ago. I take hydrochloric acid on a pretty consistent basis, you know, to help my digestion. So, and to best, I don't have any noticeable, you know, issues, any symptomatic, you know, issues. But hydrochloric acid, I mean, that could be a topic for a whole another time and dig into that.
Okay.
But yeah, hydrochloric acid and absorption and digestion is huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. And, you know, sometimes you don't even know that you have a challenge unless you get the appropriate testing done.
Yeah, that's
true.
People don't get tested unless they feel like something's wrong. And then they go to the doctor and they get the chemical solution, which, of course, is the wrong thing to do. But you really want to go see a wellness person when you're feeling fine.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happened with my heart surgery. Is like I felt perfectly fine. And they said, yeah, that's how it works. You will feel perfectly fine until you go over the cliff, and then you're going to feel miserable. And by then, you know, your heart's already swollen. You've got all kinds of other problems. So let's deal with this now. And this is the first time I've ever done anything that big as far as surgery and that preventive, where I was feeling fine at the time, consented to it anyway, because the preponderance of evidence from five separate doctors, including the head of cardiology at Stanford Med, convinced me that, yeah, this is the right thing to do. And, as it turns out, it was. Because I might not be here by now without it. So that's kind of an interesting thought. But yeah, it's just the whole idea of wellness. And this is why, you know, modern medicine, Western medicine works for some things. Heart surgery, really well. Drugs, no. The drugs are terrible. Have a completely opposite effect. But it's interesting if we could separate what works, you know, like open heart surgery to repair a valve, which they made fit perfectly, obviously. Otherwise, I'd have other problems. So that stuff they do really well. The plumbing aspects, the mechanical stuff, the systematic stuff, they seem to do quite well. However, so this is a question for another show, but we seem to have lost it so badly with the whole drug therapy that they don't do the natural cures anymore. And we know why it happened. We know the Rockefeller medicine and all that. But the psychology. I heard something, just to digress for a second here. I was watching a report, One American News, and they had a report on what age people start drugs. Apparently, men start, you know, basically every guy over 40 is on at least one prescription medicine. But with women, it's like 15 because of birth control. And so women take far more drugs, far more prescriptions over the course of their life than men do on average, probably because they go to the doctor more too. And that also includes more antidepressants, more psychotropics, things like that. So the drug use in this country is massive. And I'm wondering how that really – we should do a story on that and how it gets in the way of wellness. Because you're putting all these chemicals in. Are they blocking things like the nicotine You know, are they absorbing ahead of the nicotine, or are they helping the shedding, or are they, you know, helping cancers grow faster? You know, all these drugs. We know the COVID shot does that. So,
right.
Yeah. I'm just rambling. It's big thought.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Well, you know, and some of these things, like I had mentioned to you before, I'm in the process, and it's almost done. By November the 1st, it'll be up and going. So I have my Wellness Watch website up. I'm not making it, quote-unquote, active really until November 1st because I've added, like, an EMF bundle. I've added a spike protein bundle. I've added discounts to it. I'm adding some other things to it. I'm going to be adding glutathione, all the things. And, you know, everything that I'm adding on to this is going to be bioavailable, or else I won't have it on there. You know,
what's that
there's
mean?
Not going to be any.
What's that mean?
Meaning that the things that are on there, your body is going to absorb. I'm not going to, and I tell people themselves to do the absorption test. I think we talked about this like a year or two ago. You can tell if your supplementation is absorbable or not by doing an absorption test. You know, you stick it in an acid-like substance, vinegar, that's the equivalent to your stomach, and you see if in 10, 15 minutes, it starts to dissolve and break up. If it does, you know your body is absorbing it. If it's sitting there for 2 hours and not breaking up, well, you know you've just pissed away however much money you just spent on that supplement, you know, because your body is not utilizing it. So the things that I'm going to be putting on there, you know, they're not going to be inexpensive, but they're not going to be outrageous. Like, use them for healing purposes. You know, so that's the biggest difference. Even if you go to a Trader Joe's or you go to a Whole Foods or you go to a GNC or you go to wherever you're gonna go, I always say keep your receipt. If you want to shop there and you don't want to shop with a wellness professional or anybody that you've been listening to and you want to look for the best deal or you want to go to Amazon, just beware of what you are getting, because even a lot of the things that you buy aren't what they say they are. So that's why it is better to have a direct connection with the source of where your supplementation is coming from. Because remember, they can put anything in a capsule. It's like we talked about before with protein powder. You can go to GNC, Whole Foods, wherever you want. You buy some protein powder, and number one, it's probably not grass-fed. If it says it is, you don't know if it's been – well, it's all been processed. But if it's been processed with heat – It doesn't matter. They've killed everything that's in it. So
with what is
you
it
have
called?
To make... What?
What is processed with what kind of stuff you said?
Not been cold processed, and you
oh, okay.
had heat added to it.
Oh, heat. Heat, has... so they said, yeah.
Yeah.
That's like honey. Yeah. You know, the heat destroys the enzymes. Well, I've heard metal spoons destroy the enzymes of honey. That's kind of interesting. But heat, you heat honey, you kill all the good stuff in it. You know, and so you can have something that's nutritional, but, and garlic too. If you crush garlic, which you're supposed to do, you've got like an hour and then the air gets to it and it ruins a lot of the effects. So garlic has to be eaten like right away.
Correct.
Interesting.
But anyway, so you heal, I mean, you really have to know, because they can put anything on top of anything because there's no regulations. So that's why it's in your favor to spend a little bit more to get a better quality and a better source from a resource, a person, or something that you know you're going to get good stuff from. And if you do the absorption test and it's not absorbable, bioavailable, I hope you have your receipt and hope you take it back. You know.
Well, here's a question too that I was just thinking of. I tried different supplements, you know, support this system, support that system, and I never felt any difference, so I stopped doing it. How do you know when something's working? I mean, I think, and this goes for a lot of people, you want to feel different. Mm-hmm. You want to feel better. So if you're taking a supplement of some kind, magnesium, vitamin C, whatever it is you're taking, you want to notice a benefit to it. Otherwise, why are you doing it? Is that accurate to do that? Is your body independent of how you feel? Or if you feel healthy, you are healthy. That's what I'm wondering.
No, that's, Good question. I would say in some cases yes and in some cases no. So, again, when you take a liposomal bioavailable vitamin, not a gummy bear, right, if you take a bioavailable vitamin, and you do the bioavailability test with the vinegar to make sure it's actually being absorbed in your gut and you take it, you're not going to feel a vitamin working necessarily. If you take magnesium and chromium or if you take a detoxifying purified product, depending on the product, you are going to feel a difference. So it depends on the supplementation. But I've taken, you know, I'm 54. I've taken a gazillion supplements. Half of them have been crap before I knew any better. I've pissed away so much money, so much money. And the more I learn, and I'm, you know, half a year ago, and I'm reading labels, I'm like going, well, this is trash. You know, like as is. If it says as is, it's been made in a manufacturer. You want something to say organic, whatever, spinach, organic, whatever, on the bottle.
Yeah.
So you know.
As is for used cars. That's like the disclaimer for used cars. Yeah. What do you mean? Yeah. What do you mean as is for food? I don't want to buy it as is. I want to buy it when it's good.
But I'm talking about even in your supplementation, you know, it's almost like I can't see, you know, in any sort of a supplementation product. You want it to be based on whole foods, and you want it to be absorbable. So, and the best, like I said, are liposomal products. And they're hard to find. I have two lines. I mean, they're harder to find. I mean, you can do this yourself. You know, go find stuff and, you know, just do it yourself. So, that's kind of that right there. But you want to make sure you are reading all of your ingredients. You want to make sure that you are reading all of your things. So, like, I have a detoxifying soma product, and it's literally got, you know, selenium seed in it. It's got kelp. It's got burdock. It's got all of the things that your body needs. It's got dandelion root. It's got garlic, plantain leaf, it's got nettle in it, like all, it's got real food detoxifying products in it at a liposomal level. You go to any other store, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to find that kind of stuff. It's going to say as is. It's not going to give you a list of foods.
Wow. I've never heard that before. I've never seen as is on a food label. I see it on with car ads. Right.
Yeah. I'm not talking about foods. I'm talking about
the supplements. Yeah.
You know,
well, that's what I mean. Well, because I don't get supplements now, so I probably should listen to you. But you know, just gotta say what's true. But just because I didn't feel any different, I mean, I just, you know, I did fine on my own. I gave up some of my heart, you know, long list of medications they wanted me on too. And every time I gave up one, I felt better. So I thought, I'm just gonna get rid of all these things. You know,
right.
Thank you. Yeah. So the best thing to do with medicines is give them up. That'd be a great show, though, is our addiction to medicine. I mean, you know, and people are feeling worse than ever. It's like the more medicine they take, the worse they feel. Don't they notice that that's the trend? Or do people just think that they override their feelings of how they feel bad? They think they just, but it's more important to virtue signal, to do the right thing, you know, to please the doctor, to not offend anybody, and be one with everybody else who's taking too much medicine, rather than feel good. That's the part I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
They'd rather
take
medicine and feel bad, think they're doing the right thing, which they aren't. It's like the COVID shot. People take I was reading an article about someone that took repeated COVID shots, and each time they felt worse. But they did it anyway because they said it was the right thing to do. They had to do it. I said, what are you talking about? Why would you take something that makes you feel bad? For a virus, it's not that big a deal anyway.
Right.
Unless you're like, you know, 90. So, yeah, it's interesting. Okay.
So, I mean, that's the biggest thing that I really wanted to address the nicotine today. And then I know I sound like a broken record, but I harp on this with my clients all the time. I'm like, show me your label, pull out your stuff. And half the time they get angry because I'm like, okay, you can keep taking this stuff, but this is crap. Or you need to do something whole food based that you know your body's going to use. And they get mad because they end up realizing what I'm saying is fact and they have to throw it all away.
Yeah.
You know? I'm going to give you one more example, and we'll move on to the next topic and the other question you had. But, like, for example, I've got a product here that I use, and we all know that turmeric and curcumin and all these things are good for you. But if you buy that powder, you don't know how much powder to take a day. You have to do all the concoctions. You have to do all the things and everything, right? So to get the amounts that most people need, there's a supplement here that I take every single day. And it's got 175 milligrams. It's got turmeric root. It's got curcumin in there. It's got cumin oil, grapeseed extract. It's got sea buckthorn. It's got shiitake mushroom, black pepper extract, ginger root, peppermint. The list goes on and on, but five more things. And it's all in two little capsules, and it's in a liposomal form. So liposomal, we've talked about this before, is the next best thing to the IV therapy, where you can go to any one of these clinics, right, and you can get IV therapy of glutathione, of C, of D, of K, of all that stuff. And you can do that. I've done it, but it's a lot more costly, and some people hate needles. So if you want to do something good for your body on a consistent daily basis, you want to make sure that you're taking supplementation that reads just like what I was reading to you here at a liposomal level. If not, you might as well go through your cabinets and throw out all of your stuff.
Sounds like I need a patch for it. Like a nicotine patch. Like, do they have nutrition patches?
Nutrition patch? No. Not yet.
Okay,
someday they might.
Well, the reason I'm thinking is because we were talking about absorption rates. Remember, we were talking about absorption a little bit earlier, that if stuff in your lungs gets absorbed immediately, that's why people, you know, snort cocaine, to be perfectly blunt, and they take a nicotine patch as opposed to a nicotine pill, you know, so why wouldn't nutrition patches work?
Well, you know what? There are patches out that I use, and I think you and I discussed this before, and if anybody's interested, you know, they can reach out to me. But I use all the things. I use a glutathione patch that releases glutathione. In fact, I have one right now on my right wrist. I have several other patches that are pain patches. I think I said, you know, I'm a runner. Sometimes I'll get a knee ache, and I'll just throw on a patch that has phototherapy in it that will go right into my knee. And it works right into the cells by phototherapy. And it's a really cool technology that truly does work. There's a patch I wear on my upper right temple near my eyes at night when I go to bed that regenerates eye stem cells because, you know, I wear readers. And I'm like, I really don't want to wear readers. I'm kind of vain sometimes, so I really don't want to wear readers. But,
you're funny.
I mean, hey, you know, it is what it is. But no, so okay. At night, I put little a patch right on the temple, and truly, I have seen an improvement in my eyesight because it's regenerating stem cells. And so there are certain types of patches that you can use for certain things along those lines.
I'm just thinking how challenging it would be for me to be you because I'm visualizing your cabinet full of all these supplements and notions, potions and lotions, the patches. I have this image of you covered in patches. I don't know. It's just there's so much that you do, and I know it works.
There is.
But I would not. I don't think I would ever be at your level. I just wouldn't. You know, but it's just interesting, the dedication.
Like,
I'm speaking from a dedication point of view, that you're so dedicated to this, completely and totally dedicated to it, which is great. I just don't think I could do it.
And that's okay. But you know what? Any little baby steps are better than no steps at all. You know, it's like, okay, what one or two changes can you make and are you willing to take? And
I've actually made a lot of changes.
And that's great. And it's like, okay, let's make that a habit for 6 months, and then after something becomes a habit, let's say, okay, now are you open to two more changes? And you keep adding, and you keep adding, and you keep adding. And I do that with my daughter. You know, again, she just turned 15 yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm letting her make some of her own stupid choices on her birthday. I let her have whatever,
so
you know.
Funny.
And I actually was waiting for her to throw up, but that didn't happen. So anyway, that was good. And you know, we drive through Chick-fil-A, and, you know, it's funny. I used to say, and this was probably 2 years ago, I used to say, we don't go to fast food because we just don't. We never really have. But I always put in that but. But if we go through any fast food, we go to Chick-fil-A because I thought that was the healthier option, say, once a month. Once a month. I mean, that's it, right? No big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, we still do that. right? But very rarely, even when we're traveling.
Why
I'll
Chick-fil-A?
Have protein bar.
What's do they have different processes and different oil?
And like their chicken stuff, they add over 40 ingredients just to their chicken stuff. Like there's so many chemicals in the pressed stuff and all the oils they put on the chicken. That's why it makes you coming back for more.
Oh,
and
is the food
these
addictive?
You can
they put addictive things in the food? Seriously?
You can look it up online. Oh, yeah.
That's not very Christian of them.
And I guarantee you it's not hormone. Yeah. I guarantee you it's not hormone-free chicken either.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I could be wrong, you know, but I would highly doubt it. Although, for the prices, if it was hormone-free chicken, we might go there twice a month. I don't know. You know what I mean? So it's everything. It's what you do 80% of the time.
Right.
And that 20% that you just say, screw it. You know what I mean? So, that's why it's good to have people in your corner that have different knowledge and different options, because what I've said today, not everything is for everybody. Like if somebody's allergic to ginger root, I'm not going to give them that supplement. You know, I'm going to find something else that doesn't have the ginger root in it, but I'm going to give them something else. If somebody doesn't like stevia, I'm not going to give them a protein shake that has stevia in it. I'm going to say, okay, well, I have one that has monk fruit in it, because monk fruit and stevia and xylitol are the two better options. So if you don't like the taste of stevia, okay, great. I can get you a grass-fed or a plant-based protein shake that has monk fruit in it. And let's do this twice a day. You're going to get all the great nutrients and everything that you need that are organic, and then let's fill in the fillers around there. So it's not one shoe fits all, and that's why it's so important to know, obviously, all the details about somebody before I give any recommendations on an individual basis. But as a blanket statement, you know, these are some of the guidelines that you want to look for.
Makes sense. Yeah. It's complex. Very complex.
So,
you've
got to come to my house, to my kitchen sometime.
Oh, I can't wait. This is going to be funny. I'm going to threaten to bring a camera so that I can take a picture of your cabinet and remember it. I'm just curious all the things you have in there. That's going to be hysterical. Yeah, so one of these days. Road trip, absolutely. We had a question from earlier on. Did we answer this one? Caffeine and nicotine? I think we...
Yes.
They're similar substances?
Okay,
or
ask me the question. Ask me the question again.
Okay, so is nicotine and caffeine, are they in a similar family of chemicals, of molecules, of substances? Because I hear caffeine has a pretty strong effect too. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it does. You know, not being a scientist, not looking into the molecules and all that, I don't have a specific answer to that. I do know that they react differently. So going back to some of the things your listeners may have heard me say in the past, I can't take caffeine. It makes me have heart palpitations. And in fact, I'm going to tell you a story. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've been on the show since this. I went to a local coffee shop here for a meeting, and they have organic mold-free coffee. I love supporting them. I wouldn't drink it if it wasn't that. I go there maybe 4 times a month, every once in a while. And I like supporting them. And so I went and got a cup of coffee, iced coffee, and was at my meeting, and all of a sudden I started feeling really bad. Well, the barista, she did not mark on there that it was decaf. It ended up being caffeinated. This was just right before I went on my trip.
Right.
And I got in my car, and I literally felt like I was going to pass out. I had to drive back there. They had to have somebody come help me. I mean, I was about to flip out. I had to have my girlfriend come pick me up to get me, and I almost filed a lawsuit against them.
Yeah.
And I went in a couple of days later. I mean, I literally almost had to be rushed to the hospital. This was 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago. And I cannot.
You almost have to watch them pour it. You got to monitor which because they probably just grabbed the first coffee they saw. They didn't grab the decaf one. They just grabbed the regular one. So you almost have to watch if it's that critical to you. You've got to make sure that you see them make it. Yeah.
Exactly. So my point going back to is I'm very sensitive to caffeine, and there are different types of caffeine. So commercial caffeine, I absolutely cannot. It's not an allergic reaction. It just literally almost sends me like it was bad. It was really bad. You know, my heart just racing. I felt like I was going to pass out. I was not the whole nine yards. It just has a bad reaction on me. However, my coffee in the morning that I drink, that I was drinking while I was on the phone with you, has caffeine in it, but it's an organic mold-free coffee that I promote and I use with my clients, but the caffeine is derived from green tea caffeine. So green tea caffeine I can utilize, and sometimes you'll even see me drinking it on my show at night, and I can still go to bed afterwards. So there are different types of caffeine. Nicotine is a different substance. So in some people, nicotine does make them get the jitters and all the things and all the things.
Mm-hmm.
But again, now I'm questioning that because I've never looked into it, but based on what I'm hearing from Dr. Artis, is it the nicotine or is it the nicotine from the cigarettes that all the other chemicals have been added to, and that's why they're having that reaction? Because when I put on a nicotine patch, I don't feel, you know what I mean? I know it's where, I mean, I feel a relief of my discomfort that I was having when I was having all that liver discomfort. I believe, I have no proof because I never got tested, from spike proteins or from having the virus or something. And when I put that patch on, that discomfort dissipates. So that's how I know it is working. But some people may respond differently. So when I first started using the nicotine patch, the very first time, I think I told you this, I put it on. I only put a half on because I talked to Dr. Artis and he knows I'm very tiny. He said, get the 7 milligrams, cut it in half, only use 3 because you're small, see how you do.
Right.
And then
yeah.
work yourself up to 7, don't go above 7. The very first time I put on 3, half of the patch, I told my daughter, I'm like, you got to walk me to the couch. Like, I'm going to vomit. I'm so lightheaded. Because I had never done this before, and I only lasted maybe 30 minutes with that patch on, and I was like, I'm going to pass out. I need to take this off. So I had to work up to just using half a patch.
Huh.
And now I can use 7 milligrams, and it's like I have nothing, like I can't even feel it. So that indirectly answers your question. Molecules and stuff are different. So it just depends, you know, on the person, and I'm kind of using myself as an example.
Right.
Okay. Did that answer make sense?
Well, yeah. I mean, I could probably do my own research and actually look up the chemical structures and, you know, get the properties from that and find out how they affect people. I was just curious, just because you hear, you know, caffeine's bad. Well, actually, it turns out to be pretty good. But maybe that's not the thing that's keeping people awake. But it might be. I mean, it depends on the person. Yeah, that's true. Well, because caffeine's, if it's a molecule, it's the same molecule. But there might be stuff added onto it. There might be other things there. There might be things reacting with it. It's like with cigarettes, have hundreds of chemicals, hundreds in those cigarettes. And when you burn something, it changes the properties too. Completely. I mean, tobacco, you know, by itself is no big deal, but you burn it. And actually tobacco by itself burned is no big deal either. It's all the things in the wrapper. The wrapper is probably the most dangerous part of the cigarette because that's where all the stuff is. Like the saltpeter and some of the other things. Yeah. Okay. We got about 2 minutes left. Do you have another topic quickly or do you want to give contact stuff or,
Yeah, I'll just give you guys my contact information. So if anybody is interested in any of the things that I mentioned that are on my website, I'm not going to, like I said, give that completely out yet because it'll be completely launched on the 1st of November. But you can send me an email for any information, any questions, any help with products, or if you want to know what's in your pantry you should or shouldn't be using, whatever. Send me an email at H2O Wellness Network. That's H2O Wellness Network@gmail.com. And then my Rumble podcast show is the Angel Warrior Network. And you want to run all those words together. And there's where you can find all of my podcasting. And you can also find the 3-part Dr. Artis interview.
Well, I want to check that out too. Because I want to get him to our, because I know his producer, but I want to get him down to our January 7th, where we're going to be showcasing all our legislation. So, it's going to be, it's never happened before. So let me just say goodbye to Marco because I got the 90-second warning. So, Marco, you take care. Thanks for your help today with the show. Really appreciate it. And just to let folks know, I'll be talking about this more and more, especially as it gets closer. But January 7th, so right after the holidays, we have a Citizen Legislation Day where we're going to be showcasing all of our stuff. And not just the legislation, but the reporters. Like, we're going to have a wellness table. We're going to have a vaccine table. You know, a vaccine option for the bill. But I don't have a specific wellness bill, but I still want a wellness table. Because people need to know, you know, the information and things that we go over, you know, and so hopefully I'm going to have as many reporters as possible out here. So y'all get to meet each other. I haven't met any of you hardly. The only folks I've met are the people that live around here locally, like Derek Park and Josie and some of the other folks that are the Candace I've met. But most of the people, Chansey, I know, but most of the folks in the show, I've not met. You know, Pianki I've never met. And he's out there in you know, Missouri or Louisiana, depending. You know, and so you're North Carolina, right? Or is it South Carolina? You're South Carolina.
I'm in North Carolina. I'm like
North Carolina.
30
okay.
minutes from.
Yeah, Dorothy's in North Carolina too. You guys might be neighbors. We'll have to find that out. But
yeah.
Jonathan, Wendy, I've met. She's actually fairly close. What's that?
I said thank you so much for having me on today unexpectedly.
That's okay. I mean, I'm really fine. The only thing that would have problem is if I had another guest, if I had somebody else scheduled. And I have quite a few guests, so you never know. So just check with me, you know, like I said, because I know your schedule is a lot more fluid. And so I usually have time, but you never know. So we'll just talk. We'll talk. Or what I'll do is if I get a guest for that hour, I'll just let you know. And then we'll see if we can get you for another hour. Yeah.
Us?
Okay. All right. So we'll talk off the air more, and we're going to be on the – I'll be on with you. Let me see. So that would be Thursday the 26th. So give your contact one more time,
right.
And then I'll be done for the day, and then I'm going to go – well, it's my birthday. I don't know. I'll probably make myself some gourmet delight and then figure the rest of the day from there.
Don't forget about that box I sent you. I'll jump right out.
That's right. You're going to jump out of a box and sing me happy birthday. Can't wait. This is going to be fun. Yeah. So then Pianki comes back on the call. He's been silent for the whole hour, but he wants to talk about you jumping out of a box. Are you be wearing a costume? He said with a grin.
Make sure the box is not near a window.
Oh, thanks, Pianki. Yeah. So you went through the entire wellness, your wonderful wellness information, Pianki. You know, the minute you said you're going to jump out of a box for a happy birthday, then Pianki comes back on the line. That's funny.
You know, I wanted to tell you about that line, too, but nice to meet her. And we were talking earlier about those megalith stones are in Salem, New Hampshire. And, of course, you can take a archaeological line from Salem, New Hampshire, through that summer solstice situation there, through the travel towns there in England, and then they go right over to Lebanon. The line does.
Well, it's not a straight line, though. I've already checked the globe. It's not a straight line. It might, you know, I mean, it'd be interesting to see where it goes. Take a little map. You'll find it takes a...
Well, you got to use Google GPS to do it. You can't use no globe that was made. You probably don't banged it.
Okay. I'll take a look at a map and see, because, like I say, I'm wrong all the time. It doesn't matter to me. All right, let's shut it down for today. Thank you for another geographic note. CJ, we'll talk soon, and just let me know about next week, and then we'll figure it out from there. And we got your information in the Angel Network, theangelwarriornetwork.com, right?
Nope.
What is it?
The Angel Warrior Network is on Rumble, and
oh.
That is my podcast. And my email is h2owellnessnetwork@gmail.com.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad you did that. All right. Thanks, everybody. It's my birthday
Thanks
time. I'm
so
going to go
much.
Have some fun. Thank you, CJ.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Celebrate well.
I want to see you jump out of a cake. I mean, that's going to be fun.
Right.
Or a
box
or something like that.
I'll text you a picture. Don't share it with anybody else.
Of course not.
All right.
No.
Bye.
Thank you, CJ. Can't wait. Talk to you off the air.
Bye-bye.
See ya. Bye.
Bye-bye.
See all the fun we have here? This is the craziest place to be. All right. I've just got a couple of things to play for you, and then we'll be done for today. But this is fun. So this is my birthday, 64. Yep. Having a great time. Having fun. No prescription meds. You know, no little bit of weight to lose. You know, but great, I think, attitude's, you know, there. And I'm looking forward to a bright future with Action Radio. And so I'm not going anywhere, he said with a grin. Good Lord willing. I'll keep doing what I'm doing. I'll be doing it again tomorrow for our Friday show, 7 a.m. Central Time, when we, like I say, do it all again. Well, that sounds good. Even better. Okay, how about your car? If you want the best service for your vehicle, please talk to James at Florida Stores Automotive. Conveniently located at 6715 Caroline Street in the historic district of Milton, Florida, right between the Milton Bakery and the Blackwater Trail. Whether you need an oil change or an entire engine replaced, this is the place. The phone number is 850-623-6651. That's 850-623-6651. Call, ask questions, and get the information you need. Florida Stores Automotive is a full-service automotive shop for both domestic and imports, modern and classic. It is a family-owned business here in our Milton community. Open weekdays from 7:30 to 5 p.m., Florida Stores Automotive is a convenient place to keep your car maintained and on the road. Ask them about Firestone tires and the rotation and maintenance plan. Florida Stores Automotive. I go there. You should too. And especially since we do have our January 7th event, we're going to need sponsors. Here at Action Radio, we are looking for sponsors. We have 30 and 60-second spots available for your announcements. And we have 3-minute live call-ins to talk about your products and services available. Action Radio is the next evolution beyond talk radio. Join us and let us help your business evolve. Think about being a sponsor of the future and not just a listener, and help us help your business grow as you help us plunge headlong into breaking new ground here on Action Radio every day. This is Greg Penglis. So what is Action Radio? It is a radio show with its own citizen legislature. That's you, the listener. It is a fully interactive system of listeners, expert guests, social media, writing bills, legislator input, bill submission, lobbying, and citizen action. Action Radio is the future of talk radio, using all the available technology in one completely integrated new system. You are listening to Action Radio Online with Greg Penglis. The webpage for all Action Radio shows and podcasts is blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. Please share our show with all your friends and family, both nationally and internationally. The guiding principle of Action Radio is this: we the people give our consent to be governed through writing the laws by which we are governed.